Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, and if you're hearing this message, it's because it's Thanksgiving, and at this moment, I'm probably at home, 3 o'clock, maybe getting started on my second course. I don't know. Thanksgiving dinner is always a little bit early, but I wanted to pre-record this special message, giving a special thanks to you, the InfoWars audience, for supporting us and keeping us on air, and let you know what lies ahead for this special broadcast. I consider Thanksgiving sort of the most American holiday, more so than even July 4th, because while that represents America, the country, America, the nation, really goes on over 100 years before 1776, when the first British colonizers, the settlers, or perhaps in a more accurate way to phrase it, the adventurers and geniuses who settled on this dark and mysterious land, but found that they had some help along the way from the Native Americans. It really is a beautiful thing to celebrate. And in case people don't know, there are, in fact, two eyewitness accounts of the first Thanksgiving. The first is from a man named Edward Winslow, and he wrote a letter about what exactly happened. He said, quote, our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little help besides, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming among us, and among the rest, their greatest king at Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed five deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it was not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. And then there was another one from a man named William Bradford, who said, quote, they began now to gather in the small harvest they had and to fit up their houses and dwellings against winter, being all well recovered in health and strength and had all things in good plenty. Besides waterfowl, there was a great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, many besides venison, etc., which made many afterwards write so largely of their plenty here to their friends in England. And people don't know this, actually. Some of the Indian chiefs that were around for the first Thanksgiving had actually been to England before and come back, and it was actually a very friendly relationship we had with them. And we get the tradition, of course, of eating turkey, which they had in abundance, apparently, back then. And it's just a reminder of the real bounty that we've been blessed with as Americans and sort of the obligation that comes with that to make the most of it and to, the way I'd phrase it is turn it towards God's will. And there's another thing going around right now that we don't have time to get into, but there's a rise in paganism happening right now. And so I'd like anybody who thinks that the civilization that we're fighting for is founded on anything other than Christianity, go back and look at the charter to Sir Walter Raleigh in 1584, where it was in no uncertain terms laid out that what the British crown was sponsoring was an advance of Christendom against the forces of barbarism and savagery. And the references to Christian culture, Christian princes, and the Christian God are innumerable. And so as we all say thanks to the people that came before us to build this great country, I in particular want to thank you for going to thealexjonesstore.com and helping us to fight for the spirit that motivated the people who first brought European culture, customs, and the Christian God to this continent. So I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. We've put together a collection of some of our best interviews from the year, as well as a very special little segment that you'll see coming up where you'll be instructed on how to properly deep fry a turkey from my grandfather, Wild Bill Smith. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for some great conversations. Eat too much turkey, and we'll see you back here live on Monday. In the meantime, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com to keep us on the air and in the fight. We got a lot of good reasons for you to do so, including our very cool Christmas merchandise. Here's a jolly old Saint Nick, Santa's choice, America first. Do your shopping for the InfoWarrior in your life at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at InfoWars, at War Room Show, at AJN Live, at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you're following us because things are progressing. Things are moving. They're taking my computer away. Do you know that? Just give you a hint as to how close we really are to the end of all things here at InfoWars. They're taking my computer away. The laptop I use for work to gather news has to be imaged for some reason. So again, I know people are probably sick of hearing about it, but it is happening. Things are progressing behind the scenes, piece by piece. Little bits of the operation are being boxed away for sale. And it's a bummer. It is. But the good news is we already have the flight plan for the next launch. We already have the facilities being built. We will continue operation into the future as long as humanly possible, as long as we get your support and we give you a lot of easy ways to do it. But I'm not plugging here as much as I am bragging. I'd like to pat myself on the back here a little bit, and share this with you. So I think you'll all appreciate this as well. And I have to say, this may be, it's certainly in the top 10 messages I've ever gotten in my life. I can't tell you how satisfied and gratified this made me, getting this message. This guy that I met, you know, maybe I only first met him like 2 months ago or so. We had a mutual friend, went out to lunch or whatever. And he sends me this message yesterday. He says, my brother and his wife voted Democrat. And I told him about you after we met. He's been watching your videos and literally told me because of it, they are now far right. They are now far right, folks. That's a 2 month turnaround. That's a 2 month turnaround, folks. We're changing minds. We're breaking free. We're igniting brush fires of liberty in the hearts of men. We're doing it, folks. We're doing it. And I asked him, I was like, is this true, dude? Did that really happen? He's like, yeah. He's like, they were pretty hardcore, you know, liberal, anti-Trump people. It only took a few months of watching our videos for them to completely flip sides. I had a lot of people on X being like, far right, you mean American, like saying all this. It's like, well, we're pretty far right. I think if you want to label us anything, I'm perfectly fine being labeled far right. If you think it's bad to be labeled far right, I think that's your own biases coming into play. Far right just means far correct. It means far goodness. I guess it depends on what the spectrum is you're talking about when it comes to liberty versus authoritarian. I'm on the far libertarian side, but regardless, it's just, it's nice. It's nice to know that we're still having an effect. It is so gratifying to know that I'm not just preaching to the choir, that new people are tuning in and resonating with what's being said, because not a lot of other people are making these arguments like we make them. The false dichotomy of left versus right, of Republican versus Democrat can be accurate. I mean, it can, you know, it can align certain things at certain times. But it drives a lot of people away to see the sort of establishment conservatives claim to speak for everybody. When in reality, what we need is just pure Americana, pure Americanism, pure Christianity, the pure InfoWars Alex Jones mindset, where you care about all this stuff. And again, it's a little bit of just patting ourselves on the back. And a reminder that all of this stuff that InfoWars has talked about forever is now widely known and being pushed back on. But it's sort of an eclectic mix of topics. It's health food and keeping poisons out of the food and water, and it's about, you know, the reality about how climate change is a scam and true environmentalism. We actually want to save nature, what God gave us, but not have the concern for that be weaponized into convincing us to commit civilizational suicide. That's certainly happening. It's about the lowering of testosterone. And so it can seem like all, like this wide spectrum, this variety of different and sometimes completely unrelated topics. But in reality, when you truly understand these things, when you really look at it at a bird's eye view, when you aren't just bombarded with the facts, but when you actually have time to absorb them, consider them, think about them, it's actually fairly obvious what's going on here. And as crazy as it sounds, as extreme as it seems to some people, we are fighting against a global cult of anti-human psychopaths that are genuinely trying with all of their might and all of their wealth and all of their sophisticated psychological operations to enslave humanity and turn us into essentially farm animals. And everything aligns with that. And everything should be looked at with a filter of liberty versus control. And when you look at things and try to understand the geopolitical conflicts, the political conflicts, the immigration, all of this stuff, look at it through the dichotomy of control or freedom. And when you do that, it becomes very obvious why things are done a certain way, even things that might seem contradictory. The illegal immigration process. It might seem contradictory to say that's about controlling the population, because technically it's like, well, if you want to control the population, wouldn't you have borders? And borders are about control. But no, you release the control of borders. You allow the free flow of human beings because you want to replace a population with ingrained, embedded, practically genetic instinct to rebel, instinct to refuse to bend to unlawful or unwarranted demands. You replace them with religious extremists who treat dictates from their religious authorities like the voice of God and will do what they're told when they're told, and who feel and have been brainwashed and told themselves and been told by the authorities that they are in a war and that they're fighting and that anything is justified because victory is necessary. So it's all about control. So when you look at everything, just think about it in terms of control, because that's how they think about it. That's how they judge what is good and bad, is how easy is it for them to control. And they have a lot of people out there convinced of their mindset that when you see something that is not controlled, it might scare you. When you see speech that isn't permitted, you think that's bad. That's a trick. That's a big trick. And so it's amazing to know that people are waking up to this, realizing this, and coming around to it. And hopefully understanding the same process that I think a lot of us went through, that it's those good instincts that might make you want to be a Democrat or a socialist because you resonate with the seemingly beneficent message of these ideologies. But you have to understand that that's your good impulse being distorted, weaponized, perverted, and used against you. So it's not that that impulse is bad. It's that it's used and weaponized and distorted by bad people to do bad things. With that, I want to go to the opposite. I want to show a video here from one of the top maybe two political streamers on Twitch, Asmongold. You might know about him because he played the Alex Jones video game and loved it and was on our commercials for a while. He's extremely popular and only getting more popular and only getting more based, I guess you could say. And he lays out this list of like what he, I guess it's what he would do if he was emperor, what he would do if he was the king, what his program for reclaiming America would be. I just think it's an interesting series of ideas. Some are pretty good. Some are, maybe a little out there. But it's like, it's almost worth it to watch this just because of how refreshing it is to see somebody who's not really even in politics. I mean, he's a video game streamer. He just started talking about politics, as I understand it. He didn't go to school for this. He's not hired by a political party to make points for them. He just sort of is saying what he's thinking. And whether or not you agree with these particular, ideas, these prescriptions for what ails us, it's like, what are any ideas that anybody puts forward to solve any of the problems that we're dealing with? So I wanted to go to this video because it's sort of the Gordian knot solution to the problems that we're in. Is you need somebody with a mindset like Asmongold to be like, we're just not putting up with this crap anymore. Clip 20, let's watch.
The point that I was making is that, like, for example, deporting illegals. I would want to use the military to deport every illegal alien in the country. That's what I would want to do. That's one example. Another example is that I would want to bring back insane asylums. I would want to bring back insane asylums and put crazy people in insane asylums. That's another really big one. And I would reduce foreign aid by about 80%. Maybe not 100%. The goal would be 100%, but the beginning would be 80%. I would completely remove any illegals from the census as well. I would even take people that were residents of the country. If they were not net positive taxpayers and they were not performing an essential job, I'd deport them too. Let me think. Oh, I'd add two additional tax brackets for people that are wealthy, for people that are making above $5 and $10 million a year. That way you have to pay more money in taxes. And let's see, besides that, I would double the amount of the money that we put on policing. I would do that instantly. And you don't perform an essential job? Well, no, I don't, but I'm also a citizen. So I wouldn't be deported because I'm not a resident. Like, that's why I said resident, not citizen. Learn to listen. Harsher punishment. Oh yeah. Yeah. If you steal from a store, instant mandatory prison time. Even if you stole a paintbrush. Yep. You go to prison. The reason why, it's pretty simple. I don't want to live in a world where people steal. I don't want to live in a world where there's violence, hostility, aggression, and turmoil. And I don't think that most people do. So just put them in jail. Simple. I'll do one more. I would make it to where every prisoner had an extended sentence by about 30 to 50%, and they could work in prison to reduce their sentence that got increased back down to what it was if they wanted to work in prison. And I would do mandatory prison labor, and I would punish the people that wouldn't do it. I would put every single one of them to work. That's right. Community service? Yep, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's what I would do. Would you be president? Would you be authoritarian? I mean, I think people would say that I was, but I would actually be the most pro-freedom president ever. But I view the freedom of the people that are the 98 to 95% of the population that are being terrorized by the 2 to 5% of the population that are bad actors.
I liked that point that he made at the end. You know, again, I agree with his ideas or not. The point is, it's like, what are the things being done? what is happening. And a lot of comments underneath that video were like, yeah, well, the only problem is the, you know, baked lobbying system and the industries that would fight you and the prison industrial complex that makes a lot of money off the way things are now. And it's like, yeah, I know. I know that there are a lot of entrenched moneyed interests that don't want to see things change, that do want to see exploitation continue, failure and corruption expand, criminals run on the street for some reason because they hate you. That's why we have a government that's supposed to represent us. The idea is that all of that power and all of that money and all of the influence and all of the persuasion all is secondary to the people. And if the people aren't being served by the politicians, we take their power away. The power that they have comes from us. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, it's gone off the rails quite a bit. We obviously need some sort of holistic change, some sort of overhaul of the system to get back on track, because it is burdened by a legacy of just endless patchwork repairs, right? Like the Jason's ship, the ship of Theseus, the American government, the laws that govern us sort of been patched over so many times. We're not even this. It's not even the same thing anymore. After reading the comments, people unable to distinguish between resident and citizen. I must also include my previous policy of removing the right to vote from 85% of the population at a minimum. Yeah. Oh man. Whew, I feel that one. I feel that one real good. That is one of those things. Yeah, maybe you should have to define that. That can be it. You want to vote? Tell me the distinction between a resident and a citizen. It's kind of like Starship Troopers, actually, which also presented an interesting theoretical overhaul of the United States government into a form to deal with the out of control crime that the author imagined in the future and that we are living with now. And it's also interesting that, you know, jail reform is just such an obviously overwhelming priority that we need to deal with, because not only are there too many criminals out on the street, the jails are overloaded at the same time. How does that happen? And how are we stuck with this legacy system that is so inadequate for what it ostensibly is supposed to do? You know, penitentiary comes from the word penitent. It's like an Amish idea where, like, if an Amish person misbehaved, you're supposed to, like, put them in time out for a little while so they can think about what they've done, feel bad about it, and decide to do better the next time. And it's like, we're still doing that with people with 35 felonies? Like, what, you know, I think if you were to just look at the American penal system from an alien point of view, it would just be like, what do you guys do? What do you do? So you've got people out here hurting innocent people, and your solution is to just put them in a room with a bunch of other criminals for like a little while and then just let them back out, and you think that's going to help somehow? Like, what? How would that even theoretically work? It doesn't make any sense. I like they said, you know, put them to work. Then we'd at least benefit. Then at least we wouldn't be spending a crap ton of money to house people to do nothing until we can let them out so they can commit more crime. Like, put them to work. Why not? We at least benefit. What I would like to see is almost a parallel prison system built alongside our prison system, where you have open air prisons that are towns, that are little towns, as a midway point. So if you're really well behaved in the federal penitentiary that we have now, then you get to go be a shopkeeper in a pretend town, and you get to practice being in a civilized society for 2 years. You get to practice dealing with other people, making purchases, making agreements, going to movie theaters. You get to experience the little frustrations that we all experience in life, and you prove that you can handle them, that you're not going to fly off the handle and stab somebody And then maybe we can have a way to determine if people are truly rehabilitated and able to return to the real world. That would be my idea. But the point is, nobody's even thinking of other ideas. No one's even coming up with solutions to these problems that we've been plagued with for decade upon decade upon decade. Every once in a while, we do some minor patch repair that works for a little bit, and then people like forget why it was implemented in the first place, right? In the 90s, crime was worse than it is today, and then there was a big crime bill, and things were instituted like stop and frisk and, you know, the three strike rule, which is a great rule, and we should probably bring back. Again, I think if you fail a third time to resist being a criminal, I think you've had enough opportunities, truly. I don't know what we do with you at that point, but you certainly aren't capable of living in society. So whether it's criminal justice reform or immigration or any of these things, what we're doing now is not sufficient. It's not adequate. And it's often because it's holdovers from rules and laws and determinations made in a world that doesn't exist anymore. I'd say this is the case with just about everything. We need a new digital bill of rights. We absolutely need to treat immigration not like it has been treated in the past. You realize how delusional it is, how insane it is to treat, you know, it's like if you have processes that you're supposed to follow. You're a department store and you have processes you're supposed to follow for shoplifters. But if a gang of 50 teenagers storms in your front door and starts ripping everything off the shelves and running away with it, you can't follow that shoplifter process anymore. You have to come up with a new process. The shoplifter process, you're supposed to take down their name and information, call the police, log what they did, and it's like, well, now you've got 50 teenagers grabbing everything they can hold and running out of the store, screaming and laughing and filming it on TikTok. You can't do the thing that you did do when it was individual. So like with immigration, it's almost like we're treating it as if it's the 70s and immigration's like, you know, this issue that we kind of deal with over here. No, we were flooded with 40 million people over 4 years. That's an invasion. It needs to be treated like an invasion. It's like we're trying to deal with these new, novel, unprecedented issues without changing the tactics that we use to deal with issues. The old ways are not sufficient. They're not adequate. They're counterproductive at this point. And it's the ultimate frustration that at least some of the things could be solved with someone like Asmongold, just a normal person with basic logic and a desire to live in a safe community, just putting their foot down and saying, we're not putting up with this anymore. Because it's like everything that we have to experience, all of these issues are all just people being unwilling to do what's necessary. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen from America looking after our own interests and the American people being the priority over any and everybody else is that all of those other people who aren't us are mad at us. So what? They're mad at us anyway. What is the risk? What is the danger? And who is going to pick up the crown flying in the gutter just waiting for somebody to save us?
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing them of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Dollar Shows Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexfasore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own thealexfasore.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in. We could give out. Is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips. You take the articles. You take the video links. And that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices. So you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars for 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWar has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
Yesterday, it's called seditious behavior at the highest level. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. President DJT. Okay, who should we tell, Trump? Who do you want us to tell? Who should we let know? Why are you saying this? You are the one who is in charge of this. Thank you for telling us. You're the one who's supposed to do this. What are we doing here? Each one of these people should be arrested and put on trial. Well, who's in charge of that? Oh, it's you? Oh, okay. So what are we doing? What is this? And this is in response to another tweet saying, hang them, George Washington would. What are we supposed to say? You know, the way I was thinking about it, and this is kind of an extreme example, but there's not a lot of speech that's illegal. There's not a lot of speech that you can say that, you know, gets you thrown in prison for 20 years. But what if these Democrat lawmakers were making a video, and one by one, they all held up an image of explicit child pornography. And then Trump went, that's illegal. That's 20 years in prison. And then all the Democrats were going, Mike, he called to throw his opponents in prison for 20 years. And it's like, yeah, because of the law they broke. What are you talking about? Did you see the breaking of the law? Did you see the way they distributed child pornography? That's illegal. It's on the books. You can't do that. Calling for the lawful punishment as dictated by the law books, by the U.S. Code. How is that objectionable? You broke the law. It was like, it's like they didn't even mean to set a trap for Trump, but they did. But he fell into it anyway. It's like they're tying a noose around their own necks, and Trump swooped in to put his head through first. They gave you gift wrapped with a bow on top the perfect reason to punish them in any way, kick them off committees, censure them, charge them with sedition. Mark Kelly, as I understand it, is still under the jurisdiction of military courts. Court-martial him. Hegseth? You have the right, the ability, and in fact the obligation to do so. So why isn't it being done? If you're not going to do it, then don't go out and say these people should be hanged. What are you doing? Genuinely, I mean, it is beyond baffling. They make a video. The Democrat representatives make a video where they commit a felony, where they look into the camera and tell the military and the spy agencies, disobey your orders, we have your back. And one would think, one might believe that this might be something that the Republicans seize on for a victory. When your enemy delivers to you evidence that they've committed a felony, somehow, 24 hours later, we're the ones who are the bad guys. Somehow, 24 hours later, we've taken this gift, this bullseye, just perfectly packaged, beautifully presented gift of 6 or 7 Democrat representatives committing a felony on camera. And yet 24 hours later, every headline, red linked on Drudge, Trump calls for murder. Trump calls to hang his opponents. Like, we have Biden back. Can we have Biden back? Can Trump just do the Biden thing? Can Trump go lay on a beach in Delaware for a while? Because I don't understand how you mess this up so badly. I mean, talk about, you know, let's expand the metaphor we've been working with. How I keep saying, you know, Republicans are like a baseball team that refuses to do anything but bunt. They refuse to swing away. They never take a chance. And they still strike out anyway. Then I had to update that to say it's like a T-ball team who will only bunt. They can't even hit a ball that's sitting there waiting for them to be hit. This is worse. This is the Republicans walking up to the T-ball and somehow getting hit by the pitch and having to be out for the rest of the game with an injury. That's where we're at this point. They deliver victories to us and somehow we come out the losers. Trump calls for Dems to be executed. Hang them. That is the red link on Drudge. Instead of a red link saying Democrats commit sedition, face 20 years in prison for crime on camera, the headline is Trump calls to execute his enemies. This is so, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable how retarded Republicans are. We are losing a game that the other team didn't even show up for. Like, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. Oh my God. And it's like, I don't know, Trump is trying to, all right, we'll stick with this topic for a second, but it's like, it's just an extension of everything else. It's an extension of absolutely everything else the Trump administration has failed on this time around. Let's go to clip 16 here. This is one of the Democrat representatives who's saying, whoa, 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 all we did was say illegal orders. That's all we said. And they're like, what illegal orders? And he can't answer. He's asked four different times what illegal orders he's talking about. If he thinks if he's going to go out on a limb like this, risk being charged for sedition, you'd think he'd have an answer. He doesn't have an answer because there are no illegal orders because he was calling for sedition. Okay, let's watch.
What law are you talking about that's being broken? And then you said that he's implying that he might do something that they wouldn't want to uphold or follow through with in the future. What are you talking about specifically?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. Well, number one, the protests at Lafayette Square in the first Trump administration where he said, can't you just shoot them? Can't you just shoot them in the legs or something? That's a direct quote. And of course, the then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
That was not a military order. That was a comment.
It was a when that's coming from the President of the United States to your generals, don't you think that's a request? That's
I'm
a
asking specifically
number two, what you're talking about. Yeah, number two, he's also threatened to send the military into Chicago and other cities to, quote, go to war with those cities. Right? That is a very, very disturbing thing. Number three, he's also alluded to sending troops to polling stations, which is actually a violation of U.S. law. U.S. criminal law prohibits troops from going to polling stations.
Congressman,
and he's alluded to that. So those are just one of many examples.
You're talking about
Donald Trump has.
You're not talking about actual policy. You're not talking about things that are members of our service members who we revere and respect are actually being asked to do. So when you see this video on all over the place, when you see this video on social media, I think a lot of people scratch their heads and they say, what exactly are they talking about? Are they talking about not allowing gunboats to make it to the United States carrying drugs? Is that what you're talking about?
Martha, here's a novel idea. How about we actually prevent things from happening before they become a problem?
I think that's what they're trying to do.
What you're saying is we have to wait until there's a problem to respond to that problem.
No, I'm not.
Right? As a military officer, what I think is important is we train people. We give them information. We prepare people for challenges coming down the pike. That is what I did as a commander in the military. That's what I'm doing now. As we are standing by our troops, we are reminding them of their obligation.
From the commander in chief,
because we are asking
our military to carry out. Are you objecting to? This is very, very vague, and it was so vague in this video. I don't think people could figure out what you guys were all talking about, honestly.
Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of very disturbing comments. Uh-huh.
Again, that is actually literally more proof of their sedition, okay? Because the things that he mentioned do not align with the statute I read earlier from the U.S. From the U.S. Code, 182387. Or, you know, he's talking about people shooting him in the legs. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not even again, if he's not ordering troops to shoot POWs or fire on unarmed crowds, like if you are defending yourself against attack, it's not an unlawful order. But the things he's suggesting that would be unlawful orders aren't unlawful orders. If Trump, and again, it's like specifically denoted in the code where you are not allowed to disobey orders just because you think they might conflict with domestic law. You're not a constitutional scholar as a soldier. You're not equipped to be making decisions as to how far from the polling area you're allowed to be deployed. When you're deployed somewhere, you're supposed to go there and do it. And if it turns out to be illegal, you're not going to be in trouble. You were following orders, lawful orders. Or if they weren't lawful, it wasn't murdering innocent people, not that big of a deal. You're not going to be the one in trouble. The U.S. Code is explicit about this. So if he's saying that his instruction to disobey orders has to do with, you know, soldiers themselves determining whether or not their deployment is in line with domestic U.S. law, then that is literally, as enumerated in the code, that is exactly what is meant by sedition. That is exactly what is meant by urging soldiers to disobey being illegal, is that exact thing. You are not allowed to judge for yourself as a soldier whether your orders conflict with, like, vague civilian law. Again, if it's torturing people, raping people, like, yes, okay, that is manifestly and obviously illegal. You don't have to do that. Something manifestly or obviously illegal about, you know, being deployed to an American city to put down a riot, it's actually very legal. But he's encouraging people in the statute, and any attempt to get people to disobey orders that are lawful is sedition. So that interview, he just reaffirmed that what he was doing was seditious. Now, he wasn't talking about orders to kill innocent people or rape prisoners. He was talking about legal orders. He was telling soldiers to refuse legal orders in a way that is directly addressed by the U.S. Code and says what he did was illegal. So this interview is just more proof that what he did is absolutely 100% incontrovertibly sedition. Steve Miller went off on this. Clip number two. Watch that.
It is insurrection, plainly, directly, without question. And when you have one of the lawmakers on that video being unable to state in, as you say, lengthy cross-examination, a single so-called illegal order, it just proves the point. It's a general call for rebellion from the CIA and the armed services of the United States by Democrat lawmakers saying that you have not only the right but the duty and the obligation to defy orders of the commander-in-chief, that those who carry weapons in America's name should defy their chain of command and engage in open acts of insurrection, that the CIA, the clandestine service, which isn't even legally authorized to operate in the United States, should engage in, again, acts of rebellion and insurrection. These lawmakers should honestly resign in disgrace and never return to public office again for even daring to think, let alone to say these words and to say them proudly. But it shows what a dangerous moment we're in. We have seen the Democratic Party nurse the flames of violence and insurrection against the federal government for the last 10 months. When you see this continuous campaign of violence against ICE officers and Border Patrol agents, when you see Democrat sanctuary politicians and Democrat sanctuary governors side with the rioters, side with the assaulters over federal law enforcement, and that spills even into juries and grand juries, when you see Democrat jurors engage in nullification to let off violent attackers who are engaging in physical violence, physical assault against federal officers, this is a dangerous moment. You have a political party, an organization, the Democrat Party, and their message is that any action, no matter how unlawful, no matter how dangerous, no matter how much it threatens constitutional order, is justified if it keeps Democrat policies in effect at any cost.
Yeah, I mean, because they keep getting away with it. I don't understand. He's literally... what are we supposed to do here? What are we supposed to do? He's like listing off the number of crimes the Democrats have committed, as if he's not in the White House, in the executive branch, in charge of the DOJ. Steve Miller's obviously not in charge of the DOJ, but he's got some pull, I think. Again, just what are we doing? What are we doing here? He's sitting there going, when you have, you know, they're encouraging people to attack ICE and they're letting people who do attack ICE go without any charges. And it's like, yeah. And every time you make the same outrage speech and then nothing happens and then they do it again. And now they're getting worse because obviously that's what happens. It starts with words from the extreme side, and then suddenly people towards the center are saying it. Now you have congressmen and senators calling for an insurrection, calling for disobeying orders, calling for sedition, calling for an uprising against the lawful authorities in this country. What do you think happens next if nothing is done? He says he thinks they should resign in disgrace. Well, I guess we'll wait for that then. Is that the plan? The plan is to take the Democrat Party, who is getting worse and worse and worse and more and more and more extreme, and it's to just pray that they see the light? We're banking the future of our country on a come to Jesus, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus revelation. That's what we're banking on. We're banking on these soulless deep state monsters suddenly deciding that their own ideology is wrong and they're going to turn themselves in. Why are you telling us this? You're the ones in charge. My God, it's like, we know, we know they're all breaking all of the laws. What are we supposed to do about it? What are we doing? This is crazy. It's like, if you want us to do it, you've got to be explicit. Do you want us to go hang them? Is that, that's the message I'm getting, is the Trump administration is, like, showing us they are just incapable of doing it. It's like it's becoming so egregious at this point that it's like, do we need to do this? Obviously, electing you wasn't enough. Obviously, winning the election in the House and the Senate on this exact topic, punishing the insurrectionists, punishing the sedition, punishing the manipulation from the deep state, from the CIA, from the FBI. Clearly that wasn't enough. What should we do? I mean, my God, it is so, it's insulting. Stephen Miller gets up there and lists out like 15 crimes that they are letting the Democrats get away with. What? I'm telling you, not just go back to the same metaphor over and over, but it's like, you ever met a bad parent who complains about the things their kids do and you want to just like grab them by the collar and be like, you are the parent. It's your fault. Punish the children when they do something wrong. It is your job. It's just crazy. It's just like, well, you know, first my son took all the toilet paper off the roll and flushed it down the toilet. The toilet was all backed up. And then he's got the hose in the house and he's spraying down the living room. And then he's doing this and then he's doing this. And it's like, okay, and what happens after he does this? Oh, nothing. He does it and I say, oh, this is bad. You shouldn't have done that. And then I clean it up for him and I give him a cookie. Well, this is your fault then. You are the one who has been empowered with the ability to punish unlawful behavior. What are you doing listening to us the series of unlawful behavior that you have let go unpunished? It is, again, just beyond infuriating. And it just goes to everything Trump is doing. It's like this. So he tweets out this thing about Jeffrey Epstein. He's like, I signed the Epstein, you know, release. And it's like, great, but you also open a new investigation. So obviously we're not going to actually get anything from it. And I've got a video of that, but of Pam Bondi saying, well, you know, there's this new investigation by the SDNY. So we, you know, we might not be able to release all the, and it's like, okay, yeah, we know. So that's the way it works. He's still covering up for Epstein, but he doesn't want everybody distracted by Epstein, even though he's the reason everybody's distracted by it, because he wants them focused on the victories. There's a little problem with the victories. They don't matter. They don't count. They don't mean anything if we don't get the real victory, which is the Democrats being abolished as a party, which is their sedition being punished, which is their flagrant violation of the law in your face, spitting at you and mocking you on national TV on a daily basis goes utterly unpunished. You won't even remove money from their city, let alone arrest the people that are literally daring you to arrest them. Not like, oh, they're really pushing the bounds. They look in the camera and say, Trump wants to arrest me, he can try. If you don't solve that problem, nothing else matters, dude. Like, what? Who cares about all this other? Like, okay, so he's like, big, beautiful tax cut bill. Well, great. I still, you know, can't afford anything, but I understand somebody's getting their tax cut. Strong borders. That's pretty good, but, you know, the problem is already done. The damage was already done, right? I put a bulletproof vest on you. Great. Well, we're bleeding out because we were shot 10 minutes ago. No men and women sports. Again, another victory, but, like, who cares? Transgender for everybody, ending DEI, stopping Biden's record-setting inflation, lowering prices, biggest tax and regulation cut in history, ending 8 wars, rebuilding our military, knocking out Iran's nuclear capability, getting trillions of dollars invested in the USA, creating the hottest country anywhere in the world, and even delivering a huge defeat to the Democrats on the recent shutdown disaster. Well, they don't feel like it's a defeat, and actually at the very end of the shutdown, they swept the off-year elections. So I wouldn't call that a victory. In fact, most of these things I would debate whether they're real victories. What I would say is that almost none of them have a tangible effect for the vast majority of Americans, and none of them matter if you are just setting us up to deliver this wonderful economy. You're going to deliver this peaceful world into the hands of the psychopaths that spent the last 4 years throwing all of our friends in prison when they never committed a crime and charging you for crimes that they made up and pulled out of their butts and decided to invent in order to go after you. None of it matters if they're able to get back in charge and reignite the oppression and the abuse from the government that they did before you got into office. None of this matters. This is like a football team bragging about all of their stats, but they never put points on the board. It doesn't matter if you have the longest, you know, the most skilled kicker, if you never put up a field goal. It doesn't matter if you have the number one passing yards and the number one sacks and the number one forced turnovers on fourth down, if you never get in the end zone to win a game. It doesn't matter. Great, brag about it all you want. If you don't win the game, if you don't put points on the board, which in our case would be Democrats in prison, then nothing else matters. All you're doing is setting up a brilliant, lovely economy for them to destroy as they throw all of us in prison despite having never committed a crime. Because when they do commit crimes, you will not do anything but piss them off and bitch about it online. We elected you to do something. Why won't you do anything ever? God,
we're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy, literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Did I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No. You hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. Get the biggest sale ever at theallyshowstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexShowStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks.
This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed, stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away.
Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt. And this methylene blue really rocks.
Why don't you explain what you're going to do here, Grandpa?
Well, this is the first time we've ever done it, but we have here purchased a burner assembly, the pot for the turkey. We purchased 3 gallons of peanut oil and 3 gallons of mixed oil. We have now in here 3 gallons of peanut oil, and we're bringing the temperature up to 350 degrees. The turkey is here, and when we get the temperature up to 350 degrees, we're going to put the turkey in with this hook like this, and we'll lower it slowly into the oil so it doesn't spatter too much. We're doing this out on the snow-covered driveway because if you get near the house, there's a danger of fire. We could burn the house down. This is pure peanut oil. Comes from Opelousas, Louisiana. We're trying to maintain 300 to 350 throughout the cooking process. If you get near 400 degrees, there's a danger of fire. And we're trying to avoid that. We're going to leave it on for an hour and 15 minutes. We should eat by about 4 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. This 5 gallons of propane gas to fire the burner. We're just about ready. I think I'm going to start the turkey. We're going to do this with gloves because we could burn our hands. Really would pay to have asbestos gloves, actually. It'd be better. Let that water drip out. We pretty much dried the turkey, so it's not. There shouldn't be much water in it now.
What sound is the water left in the turkey coming out?
Okay, the timing was 50 minutes, which the turkey weighed 14 pounds at the beginning. The temperature never exceeded 30 degrees Fahrenheit. The timing was 50 minutes, and that's about 4 minutes per pound, which is said it was quoted in the direction. We tested the internal temperature of the meat, and it was 180 degrees in all quadrants. Therefore, the turkey is done, and now we're ready to serve the turkey inside. I've turned the fire off. We maintain 300 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the cooking process.
Hey, Bill, why's the turkey in the wheelbarrow? Is it done?
So,
sorry, I'm interrupting.
Your partner is really funny. So we didn't use too much gas. I had to turn the fire down a little bit to maintain 300 degrees Fahrenheit. And the turkey is ready for consumption at this time. So we'll take it in the house. Okay. We'll bring the turkey up over the snow into the house. The prize-winning turkey has arrived. Yay! Let's have a little cheer.
Now you're just going to be so cold and you
pull it out.
Nice looking bird, too.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ward. We always hear these comments from Arlington, Virginia. Okay. Where do I go? Where's that? No laughing, please. No laughing. Let's hear a little cheer.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by millionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Second hour is on, and joining me in studio is Jesse Beltran. He is a certified master hypnotist with a diploma in hypnotherapy from the nationally accredited Hypnosis Motivational Institute in Tarzana, California. He's a retired firefighter paramedic. He's a past member of the Mathematics, Engineering, and Science Association at UC Davis. I could go on and on and on. Suffice it to say, the man knows what he's talking about. You can follow Mind Nexus on X at Mind Nexus Live and MindNexusLive.com. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate your platform.
Well, it's my pleasure. And of course, during Alex's show, if people are watching, I was scanned. I was probed. Tell people what you were looking for, what you found. Just explain what this little machine is that you wanded over my body, and it went off at a few disturbing locations. Some about it going off at the base of my skull is kind of freaky. What was that? What were you detecting?
Yeah, so little bit about myself. I'm the president of an organization called CosmicClarityConnections.org, and Mind Nexus Live is our brand. And what we do is we help individuals, particularly U.S. citizens, who were experiencing symptoms of what is now defined as anomalous health incidences or Havana syndrome. That was established by our Department of Homeland Security back in 2016. In fact, on May 8th of 2024, they held a hearing where a gentleman by the name of Colonel Greg Egren gave testimony that this phenomenon was not only happening to our diplomats in 2016, but also happening to the best of our best in the CIA, the FBI, and now happening to congressional members. Hmm. The only issue is that they state that this is only happening to federal employees. Now, I have been, along with the gentleman, Dr. John Hall, who's from here in San Antonio, Texas, we got on this topic, and he said he was seeing U.S. citizens who were having these exact same symptoms. And he felt that, and part of the symptoms were this. The diplomats were talking about hearing a strange auditory sound followed by severe headaches, nausea, vomiting, vertigo, short-term, long-term memory loss. And what was most interesting, also reverberations to the body, which has now been defined as buffeting. Mm. Now, he said, well, if indeed they were exact, hearing a signal, there should be some mechanism in order to track it or at least detect it. And what he was utilizing was this little device. It's called a JM20 Pro. It's a general frequency detector. And he was scanning individuals around their person, and he was coming up with positive results around specific focal areas around the human body. And that's in gist, sort of what we were detecting on you today, but a little bit more sophistication. And so I said to him, and I said, well, if this phenomenon is happening, why can't they just go to their doctors and get more diagnostics? And he said, because what is happening, as soon as they say they're having these auditory symptoms, they're being railroaded into the mental health industry, forced institutionalized or forced medicated, and therefore being victimized even further. So I said, well, my background, I'm also a firefighter paramedic out of the city of Sacramento. I'm retired. And I said, well, there's got to be a way to take this subjectivity and turn it into objective data. And so I called for a meeting in Sacramento, California, and I expected maybe a handful of people. I said, hey, if you're having these symptoms, come on out. We want to talk to you. And 100 people showed up, standing room only. I said, okay, something's going on. We got to look into this further. So we decided to do mass frequency testing in Davis, California, and 300 people showed up for that first event. And what we were finding is those who were most affected or most likely to be affected were Caucasian females, recently single, widowed, or divorced, highly educated, then Caucasian males, then African-American females, African-American males, then in the same categories, Asians, Hispanics, and it dwindled down from there. It stayed consistent until the Midwest. And it flipped when we got to Chicago. The Caucasian criteria and African-American criteria changed positions, and then that stayed consistent to the East Coast with one anomaly, which was up in Virginia. A group of military subcontractors, about 80 to 100, asked me to come down because they had heard I was doing this RF testing. And so I did. And it eventually took me to Europe, where a government agency asked me to come and test some of their employees that worked in the embassy, and said, if you can also bring any Americans or anyone else that you felt that was having this phenomenon, we want you to come to a research university, and they allowed me to use what is called an anechoic chamber. And we knew that this was the correct environment because we felt that there must be something unique to the individual that allows them to receive the signal. So the anechoic chamber was designed to block out frequency spectrums between 8 kilohertz and 19 gigahertz. We knew that was well outside the range of what we were detecting, so we felt, well, if our hypothesis is correct, this should be the perfect environment to prove what we believe is happening. So we took control groups. We put them in the anechoic chamber, and we can actually show that video.
That's clip number one. Should we roll that as B-roll, or should we?
Yeah, we can roll that.
Okay, let's go ahead and roll clip number one. This is the, how do you pronounce it, anechoic?
Anechoic chamber.
The anechoic chamber.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And these things cost millions of dollars.
Right.
And what you see there is someone from the embassy there, and I'm utilizing the JM20 Pro, and we're just going around her person to see if we get any positive detection. And in this case, we expected that we wouldn't, because she's non-symptomatic. She doesn't have symptoms, okay? And it's about to next, what will happen is we're going to use what is called a frequency counter. And what this does is if there is a frequency that is being transmitted, it's going to detect it in its numerical number. And that light flashing means it is looking for frequencies, and we were very excited. You'll see a smile on my face because it read zero. We said, we now have the perfect environment. And so now what we did is we brought in the symptomatic person and the control person. This actually is another control. He was a government official there in Europe. And we went through the same process, but this is a speeded up version where we're just checking for the numerical frequencies. And again, we read zero. So two controls, no symptoms, not having anything of this phenomenon. And in a second, what you're about to see is that we're going to be bringing in the first control, and then we're going to bring a symptomatic person in. And what your audience is going to see is going to be probably disturbing, but it was a definitive moment in what we were trying to prove. And that's about to show up here. So again, the environment is locked up. We do have a spectrum analyzer in there. So we are trying to see if we detect any frequencies.
And is the purpose of this chamber to isolate the testing area from any other frequencies from outside?
Exactly.
It's a big Faraday cage.
Yeah, essentially. It's a robust Faraday cage. And lo and behold, as we bring this up to the symptomatic individual, we are detecting frequencies.
Wow.
It was at this point that we could say, for whatever reason, we don't know why, that this person who was having these same AHIs, Havana syndrome symptoms, was emitting a frequency from his person. Now, this is the control standing in the same location that he was,
still
and once again, reading zero.
So help me understand this, because obviously they've had electronic weapons since World War II, right, is when they were testing some of the microwave radiation weapons. From what I've understood is that what they suspected was that the embassy in Cuba was being bombarded with some sort of electronic rays that just mess up the cellular functions of the people there and makes them feel sick. But now you're saying that the people that are affected by it are actually themselves emitting. Help me understand that, because I understood it was, you know, a frequency being beamed at the people that was hurting them. How do they then turn around and beam a frequency back?
So it's not beaming a frequency back. What we said, there's something unique internally within them that allows them to receive that signal, that frequency. Because all of those Havana syndrome victims, the federal employees, and that's all they claim right now, it's only happening to federal employees, is that they were complaining that no matter where they went, they were still hearing the signal in a lot of the cases. And essentially, that auditory symptom that they're saying, they were being very polite about what that really meant. Some of these individuals were actually hearing voices being transmitted to their heads. Okay? So, and this is a very common complaint. But what we can say, and I was contacted by a doctor who I promised never to say his name, but he was the head of a three-letter agency. Oh. And he said, Mr. Beltran, you and Dr. Hall are Renaissance men. And he goes, you're absolutely right. The 338 patients that I am treating for Havana syndrome, federal employees, there's significant overlap. He said that the symptoms that they're having and the clients that we are seeing are the same. He said the only difference is you guys have cases where you've removed biosensors. So basically electronic implants of very, very small size that I can actually show. If you'll show my screen what they look like.
And would these be, we'll show the pictures there, but would this be the type of thing, like we've seen, you know, they'll put a thing about the size of a grain of rice in the hand. Is that the type of biosensor you're talking about, or even smaller than that?
These are smaller than that. Okay. These things are basically down to the size of a letter on a penny in many cases. They
come
in different shapes and forms. This here is the case that I can talk about. This is the Bonnie Kellerby case. She was one of my very first clients that we did an RF test on. And this is a photomicrographic report where they surgically remove three of these sensors from her. And let's see if this pulls up here. Should. Okay.
And did she know that these were?
No. Back then in 2010, these victims had no clue. All they knew is they were being tortured. And it is torturous.
Yeah.
They didn't know why. But this is why we back then I was the president of a organization called the International Center Against Covert Technologies. Mm. And this is when we did this mass testing. And if you look here, these are multiple sensors. They, our bodies don't reject them. These wires are nanowires that are, appendages out of these things. And they are all controlled by RF emissions. And this is why, we were really excited, because this was one of the cases that we said our hypothesis was correct.
Right.
Yeah. There is something unique about these individuals that is allowing them to receive this signal. So what did we do with you? So now this was the RF detection. Now we now know that this is very hard to get. There's only two or three of these in the United States that even work anymore.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, even the newer ones that they build at the same models are not as sensitive. So the circuitry in here is why we use this. And then we follow up. And so this is detecting RF emissions. Then we follow up with the nonlinear junction detection. What this device does, and you know, this little piece of material runs about $22,000.
Wow.
And it will detect semiconductive material or silicon-based materials. It was initially designed by an engineer to detect rust on airplanes. And serendipitously, they discovered that it will also detect small semiconductive materials or electronic components. whether it's passive or active, active meaning it's on all the time, passive meaning it's off, it will still detect whether or not that exists. And the reason we utilize that is because there was another agency out there who scanned Ms. Kellerby. I did the RF scan on Ms. Kellerby. He did a nonlinear junction detection scan on her and found locations of semiconductive materials. So two different testers, two different types of testing, but two different types of technologies, all coming up with the same type of result. So what you got was just a really rush precursor to just demonstrate that this thing will detect electronic components or semiconductive components of silicon-based. And that's what we detected. It was positive at the base of the neck. Now, we consistently see these areas. They're always in very specific focal areas around the human body, whether it's the right, left TMJ, the occipital portion, the base of the neck, right and left arm, the scapular areas, the lower lumbar, right, left apex, upper abdomen, right, left hip, and occasionally down in the calf regions or in the quads. Now, if you look at the patents that exist, what is happening, particularly after the jab, is we are finding a lot of patents that describe this wide body area network system that basically is being implemented on all human beings around the globe. Particularly if you had the jab or you had the PCR testing, what they found is that in the PCR testing is a hydrogel. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny discloses that in that hydrogel was this nanotech. Now, what is this nanotech? These are essentially electronic components of a small size, 2,000 times the width of a strand of hair. Dr. Ido Bachelet in 2005 gave a TEDMED talk in Israel, and he was showing a 1cc syringe he held up, and he says, at the tip of this needle are 1,000 billion robots I just brought from my lab.
Whoa.
So he's, and then he says he teaches his students to control these robots with your Xbox controller when it's in a host.
Okay. Very creepy.
Yes. So this is, and this phenomenon is happening. And Colonel Egren, retired Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Greg Egren gave testimony on May 8th of 2024 to the Department of Homeland Security saying that this Havana syndrome or anomalous health incidence phenomenon is happening, not, as I expressed earlier, not only to the best of our best and the FBI, CIA, and it's now happening to congressional members as well as our diplomats, but he's saying it's happening on every continent, and he said, except for Antarctica. We now know there are cases on Antarctica where there's a group of people also complaining about these same complaints.
So does that mean, so when I heard Havana syndrome, I assumed that there was some sort of machine pumping out radio waves that were affecting people. It sounds like maybe the symptoms are just a response to like resonant frequency. Is there an attack happening, or is this happening to anybody with this stuff in them?
Well, the clients that we see that are symptomatic do claim that they are being hit with some type of frequency.
Right.
Now, if we look at all the studies that are out now, we now know that in the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, there is these nanotech materials. And if we go back to what Dr. Ido Bachelet was showing everyone, and I'll bring that up.
Yeah, because it seemed like it went off at a few places that you indicated on me. Of course, I think the last vaccine I've received was when I was 10. I think I got a tetanus shot because I got a bad rust, you know, cut from rust on my foot. But would there be something else that would be? Why was it being detected to me?
So it's
been 20 years since my last vaccination.
Not only is this in the vaccines, it's also in the anesthetics, so xylocaine. And if they can show my screen right now, I can show you
how to build a computer from nanorobots. Wow.
Yeah. So these are the nanorobots by Dr. Ida Bachelet's demonstration. They can basically program these to self-assemble, self-replicate.
Right.
And it'll attach to the DNA. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. And there's where it talks about teaching the students about the Wi-Fi. But this is the xylocaine anesthetic. Again, those are the nanotech that they're finding in it. And if you compare Dr. Ido Bachelet's nanorobots to what is in the xylocaine derivative, they're identical. And you're asking, how does it get into you?
Right.
We now know not only is it in these derivatives, but it is also in the food. It is also in the air. And there are studies that now show that these shed. So that means if you're around someone who has had the vaccine or has these, this technology in you, that it can transfer to another person. How do we know this? We now know there was a study being done in the UK where they were detecting MAC addresses on human beings.
Right.
And even in graveyards, they were going through and testing for MAC addresses, and they were finding them in the graveyards.
Right.
On individuals who have deceased. But these were live individuals, and in that group, all but two had had the vaccine. And they were, the two were still showing MAC addresses that they can trace. You can actually see them out in the middle of nowhere. No cell phone activity, no radio waves that can come in where you can get a radio station. And you can literally see them through the software walking and approaching you. No cell phones.
Wow. Now.
And so what they discovered is that their spouses had had the vaccine.
Okay.
So their hypothesis was that this shedding phenomenon does happen. There's a doctor out there by the name of Dr. Hildegard Staninger who has written a book on this topic many years ago. And I thought, quite honestly, I thought it was pretty far out there. But we're finding out that everything that she had written in her book was completely accurate.
Wow. So is your body then producing the nanorobots? Like, do they replicate in the body in the same way that mRNA will produce spike proteins? Because it's the spike proteins that shed, right? So what's the crossover between mRNA spike proteins and the nanorobots?
It's the graphene oxide that's in there.
I see.
And the graphene oxide is basically what allows these things to operate. And they will do whatever the code they're programmed to do. And so if they're programmed to replicate once they get to a certain number or don't replicate, they can basically self-assemble into anything.
Right.
Anything that the programmer is telling them to do and controlling them. But these are all controlled by RF emissions. And this is why we now know what we discovered in Europe is absolutely true today.
Mm.
And we do have cases where you're lucky if you can find something of a size that can be surgically removed. Now with this nanomaterials, you know, I was a little disheartened. I didn't know what could be done in order to stop this, because our whole goal was to help people and find a solution and a path for that. And luckily, recently, I came across a product that, and I'm very skeptical. I want to see the data. I want to see the proof. Anything. So I've never, ever supported anything. But I was approached because my podcasts were heard and they were saying, well, what do you do when this nanotech is... Well,
hang on to that idea. We got to take a quick commercial break and we'll come back with the...
Let's see what's cooking on TV.
Thanksgiving Day is coming. And for Charlie Brown, that can only mean... It's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
I'll tell you, Pat, this stuff is looking good and smelling good and tasting good. We got to dig in and start eating now.
Here oh, girl, what a feast this is. This is beautiful, girl. Congratulations.
Drop the turkey.
Like sand.
fighting for their lives.
Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Lass. Who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
Hey, buddy.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want.
Look, I had a chance to shoot a bunch of you the other day and didn't.
He wants to get rid of Thanksgiving forever. To get rid of the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
All right, Spider-Man.
He's got spiderweb rays coming out of his hands. He can cling to tall buildings. And he's looking for Octopus, the Green Goblin.
We're Angie to O.J. O.J. running to the left, turns the corner at the 30. O.J. at the 25, the 20, and falls ahead of the 15. That does it. He broke the record.
For Clint Longley, even if he never completes another pass, they'll always remember the one he threw on Thanksgiving Day 1974.
Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners?
Those aren't pillows.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Tonight, on this Thanksgiving, I come before you to ask your help, to ask your strength, to ask your prayers. All of us have lived through 7 days that none of us will ever forget.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest is Jesse Beltran, Mind Nexus Live on X, at Mind Nexus Live on X, and of course the website mindnexuslive.com. And actually, it was funny because while you were on with Alex Jones earlier today, something you were saying reminded me of this video that I'd seen. I actually found it again at home, so I have the video on a hard drive at home. And it was this presentation from the World Economic Forum about how your boss will be able to listen into your brain waves and will be able to determine whether you're focused on your work or being distracted. And so I'm like, oh, this, I'll play that video when I interview Jesse. And so I'm looking it up and I'm trying to find it, and I can't remember the exact words for it. And funnily enough, I finally find it. It's a video of a podcast playing the video, and it's your podcast. It was the Mind Nexus Live channel on YouTube that I actually found the video. So we actually have that video, and we can go to it in a second because I know we have other stuff that sort of leads into it. But I wanted to congratulate Mind Nexus Live on YouTube because they had this video that I could not find anywhere else, and it's a crazy video, and I do want to go to it about how your boss could spy on your brain waves and all this stuff. But just a funny coincidence that I'm like, okay, who put that? I'm like, wait, Jesse Beltran, wait a second. It's him. He's the guy I was talking about. So clearly you're aware of that. But this is not crackpot stuff. This isn't something you came up with. World Economic Forum gives speeches about this. Scientists will, present dissertations and, you know, experiments they've run on this. This stuff is not mainstream science, but it's well-established science.
Yes, and it's been around for a long time. The reading your brain waves, that patent has been around, and actually, the patent actually explains how they use satellite transmissions to be able to pick up your EEG.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, they can do that to this day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What if your boss can monitor your thought? We can go to that video now. We can, I know this is a pretty interesting thing you have pulled up on your screen here.
Yeah. So this is, a New World Business Report. It was released in November of 1994. This was obtained through a FOIA request. And basically this was created by the United States Air Force in order to keep us a superpower 50 years in the future. So we know that this was worked if it was released in 1994, and this is older technology. We're way surpassed this now. But so we know that it was done at least 10, 15, 20 years prior, but it was the greatest minds of our military. And interestingly enough, on page 89 of it is a chapter called Biological Processes. And in this, it talks about being able to utilize RF frequencies in order to manipulate human processes, their experiences. And not only does it talk about them able to do this, but it also talks about imprinting memory sets,
right,
and erasing memory sets. And that is old technology. This has been around for a long time. We even have documents where back in 1972, where the prisoners, particularly Vacaville Prison in California, where they were already able to remotely monitor their biometrics, including reading their thoughts.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. And of course, there was the famous experiment, I think all the way back in the 50s, where there was a charging bull and they got the bull to stop on a dime. I mean,
that's Jose Delgado.
Right. Yeah. And so, but that was about implanting something in the mind that would then respond to a radio frequency that would basically control somebody like a marionette. I mean, straight up, you know, they would have an angry bull charging at a target and then they would press a button and it would stop within 5 feet. I mean, it really, really incredible power this has to control the physical being.
Yeah, you, it's interesting that you say, well, it was a larger type chip device, but these nanorobots are no different.
Right.
They're just smaller chips.
Wow.
Yeah. And if they're even going into, there's a video out there on YouTube, and if you Google it, it's called Cognify, the Future of Incarceration.
Oh, no.
So if you commit a crime, and let's say there's a victim in the crime, you'll have a choice. They'll give you this incredible number of years, like 150 years, or you can go through the Cognify process, 3 minutes. And what they'll do is they'll imprint memory sets of and allow you to feel your victim's torment, their empathy.
God.
You will believe that you've been in prison for 50 years, and they'll even bring in your family to be assimilated in a therapy session with your new memory sets. And that's the video right there.
Good Lord. It's the Ludovico treatment. It's from Clockwork Orange, the Ludovico treatment, right?
Yeah.
Pinning the eyes open and you know, brainwashing people. A little bit different, maybe even more horrifying than the Ludovico treatment. Or Brave New World has that same thing, right? Although they used it for vacation, but the idea of you would take Soma and it would give you a 1,000-year vacation or whatever, really just in an afternoon. But that's the power of manipulating your cognitive processes. You can convince somebody that they've been in prison for a year in 3 minutes. That's
correct.
Crazy.
But and I am a certified master hypnotist, and even let's take this technology away.
Yeah,
I can do it just with the frequency of my voice.
Please don't.
No. But if I was unethical,
and I'm not,
but the reason I became a hypnotherapist is because I noticed that the people who are most effective tend to score high on the suggestibility scale.
Right.
You can talk about the Aaron Alexis event. He called me. He contacted me. He was going through this. And, you know, he wanted help. He said, I heard you can help me. And I said, well, I can help you find data if it is really happening to you. But it's not an easy process. It, literally, people trying to find evidence, like the Bonnie Kellerby case, it took 8, 15, 20 years in order to get to that point. But I thought he was going to go through the process. He hung up, and later I heard that he killed 12 people at the Navy Yard.
Oh, that was him. Okay.
That was him.
Right,
because
yeah. he was saying he was hearing voices.
And he wrote on the butt of his gun, this is my ELF, extremely low frequency.
Right.
Okay. I spoke to him, so I know all the symptoms that he was complaining about were identical with the clients that we see.
Wow.
Now, Myron May, an attorney out of Florida, called me the same way, saying, I heard you could help me. And then I said, yeah, well, this isn't a quick process. It's a long journey. And he says, I ain't got time for this. I got bigger fish to fry. I thought he was talking about suing someone.
Mm.
And then he went to the university and he killed people at the research lab.
Wow. Okay.
So the bottom line is Putin gave, he said in the Politico when he was interviewed, he said, the first superpower to master psychotronic weapons will be the superpower to rule the world. You know, where do we go from that statement? The bottom line is we are in a new type of war.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had two different people who would later go on to commit mass or random shootings, contact you with these symptoms, refuse your treatment, and then go on to do this and to blame it on the voices that they're hearing. When they say they're hearing voices, when they have this auditory, I mean, is it a delusion or are things being beamed? Or I think I was asking you during the break, like there are times where I'm laying in bed at night and I can hear the washing machine on or the dishwasher on, and it, you know, my brain almost is trying to pick out voices. It almost sounds like words, even though it's clearly not. Is this something like that happening? Is this actual words being beamed in?
So we coach people on how to deal with this phenomenon or to move forward in order to get to like the Bonnie Kellerby cases or the other cases where they've had surgical removal of these implants. Now, you're lucky if you have one of that size.
Right.
With the nanotech, it's a totally different approach. So what you're describing is, you know, that phenomenon happens to everyone, and that's normal. These are individuals where there is an RF emission being detected.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
A very specific focal areas around the human body.
And so what is the process? If someone comes to you and says, you know, they're experiencing this, you test them, yes, they are, you know, showing these symptoms, what's the next step?
So if it's what we try to do is we coach them on how the other cases were successful. And we now, what has taken 10, 15 years to do, we now have a program in place where we can coach people, if they come up positive on an RF scan or a nonlinear junction detection, scan, that there are now doctors who are willing to be heroes and step forward and order like a high resolution ultrasound.
Okay.
And if they find a foreign body that can be surgically removed, then they'll refer, that's the medical side, they'll refer them to a surgeon. You know, we don't practice medicine. We're just looking at the technology aspects of this. And so I want to make sure that we're very clear on that. But now we've taken that process down to about a year for individuals who are experiencing this. But I want to emphasize this. Currently, there are no resources out there to help these individuals who are literally being tortured and tormented. Okay. There is only help for federal employees.
Okay.
Okay. Remember that doctor from that three-letter agency contacted me. You know, we knew we were on point. We knew we were on target with this topic. Now, this is why we're fighting. We're fighting to have the United States government understand, and according to Colonel Egren, he knows exactly what doors to knock on, who to subpoena, who to go after. But for whatever reason, they're refusing to acknowledge that this has been happening to American citizens on U.S. soil.
Wow. Yeah. And it's just incredibly creepy. And I was wondering if when you go in the, you know, a room sized Faraday cage, like we were showing earlier, the anechoic, is that
anechoic.
The anechoic, if the symptoms decrease, if they're shielded and isolated from RF frequencies.
Yeah, most of the symptoms did decrease. And like I said, if you were in the sweet spot, that means in an anechoic chamber, you will still get some type of penetration. But if you're in the sweet spot, those will be eliminated.
So it is, the symptoms are being caused by RF frequencies.
Correct. Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's and again, it's like you've got people like yourself that are investigating this and studying this and trying to figure out how to combat the torture that people are going through. And then you have the other side, which is the WEF side, that's trying to weaponize this. It's trying to utilize what they know, clearly, you know, more than us, in order to surveil and control to the maximum degree. And so I'd like to go to that video now, because again, I was looking for this video anyway, and it just so happened that it was on your YouTube channel. WEF Bossware, Decoding Brain Activity and Controlling Workers' Minds. This is clip number 24. And again, I was just searching this, not realizing it would be Mind Nexus Live, would be the channel that I'd find it on. So happy coincidence, but here's about a minute from that broadcast.
Your mind starts to wander to the new colleague on your team, whom you know you shouldn't be daydreaming about, given the policy against intra-office romance. But you can't help fantasizing just a little. But then you start to worry that your boss will notice your amorous feelings when she checks your brain activity and shift your attention back to the present.
Oh, man.
What do you think? Is it a future you're ready for?
No one's ready for it.
You may be surprised to learn that it's a future that has already arrived. Everything in that video that you just saw is based on technology that is already here today. Artificial intelligence has enabled advances in decoding brain activity in ways that we never before thought possible. What we've seen consistently is companies from Amazon to Tesco to Walmart and others have introduced what is considered to be bossware or surveillance technology that employees really don't like it, even if it makes their lives better.
So again, that was just a 1 minute clip from, I think, a at least an hour long podcast, y'all did over at Mind Nexus Live. Of course, you can follow them on X at Mind Nexus Live and mindnexuslive.com. But she's excited about this. You know, it's almost telling to me that the example they use is somebody, you know, wanting to flirt with her coworker, right? Sort of the most human impulse you can have, some sexual drive, some attraction to a fellow human being. And they're coming in to say, we know you're thinking that and stop it right now. There's something very anti-human about all of this.
Well, think about this. Your partner, your spouse, there's no more secrets when she says, do I look fat in this dress?
Right.
You're going to have to tell the truth.
If bossware becomes wifeware, it'll really be a problem. Yeah, but, they're excited about this. Amazon, Walmart, whoever they're mentioning, they're implementing this. It's going to really, you know, increase productivity when they can dictate your own thoughts to you. It's beyond creepy, but you're not the one coming up with this. They are.
That's correct. We did a video. It's sort of a music video. But it's more serious because it actually demonstrates, it has tidbits of the congressional hearing done, with Colonel Egren in it. And at the end, you have then Senator Joe Biden, at the confirmation hearing of Edwards saying, mark my words, during your tenure, you're going to have to decide whether it's constitutional to put a biometric tag in an individual. Okay. This was back in 2005.
Wow.
Okay. And recently at the UN, there was it wasn't a resolution. Somehow they got it passed in where the biometric tag is going to be implemented. And they're talking about, we already know China's doing the social credit score and they're already being monitored. But if you speak up against your government or do something that they deem inappropriate, guess what? The AI that is connected to you because you're now a node because you have this in you, you're now cut off from your banks.
Right, right.
Your ability to purchase anything.
Good luck trying to fake your identification.
Correct.
It's tied to your cell, so
correct.
You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And, of course, we see the way they're implementing digital ID across the country or across the world now, you know, the UK trying to implement that as quickly as possible. I mean, this – and, you know, I always said, especially during COVID and stuff like that, you know, if they don't require your collaboration, they don't require your awareness, right? If they can force you to take a shot, why should they have to tell you that they're vaccinating you, right? If you don't have an ability to say no, why should they even ask you in the first place? Why shouldn't they spray vaccines in the air or have mosquitoes as the flying vaccine needles or all these other horrifying concepts that they have? If they can set the precedent of we can force you to take something in your body like a vaccine, I think as soon as they do that, they can they can do it to you without you knowing. And, you know, what's the problem? They could have strapped you down and forced it in with a needle, or they can put it in your food. And either way, you're being, you know, unwillingly dosed with this stuff.
Correct. Yeah. This might be a good lead in to why this is being done, because this is about total control.
Right.
Now, if you're able to manipulate people's thoughts, or just think about a population.
Yeah.
If you wanted to cultivate their political views, or if you wanted the whole world to have one complete view, you know, what happens to free will? It's right. No longer there. And there is a new term for the human species. We are no longer considered human once you have this in you. The new term is Homo Borg Genesis.
Homo Borg Genesis.
Yes. And there's a video called Central Command, which would... This is what it's really all about. If we can we have time.
We do. This is clip number 5, Central Command Platform. And we'll play the music video in the beginning of the next segment, because I know we don't have infinite time with you. But let's go to clip number 5 here, Central Command Platform, from Jesse Beltran's videos.
The Central Command Platform gives key decision makers easy access to advanced surveillance options. Using the icons at the top, we can toggle the visibility of the subjects we want to view. We'll tap the human icon to activate their visibility. This gives us a real-time view of all the subjects in our jurisdiction. Let's use the search bar to find a specific subject. Here, we can search by typing in the name of a subject or search with an image of the subject's face. First, let's try typing in the name of our subject. In this case, there were 2 people with the same name found in our jurisdiction. We can tap a subject's live location to see more details. We can now see the live location and source details of the person we tapped on, with options to see more details to help us determine if this is our subject. To search by face, let's say we have an image of the subject. We can source this from a surveillance integration or by manually uploading an image. Using face search, we can find the exact person who matches the face of our subject. Let's say our subject is suspected of committing a crime last night. We can use the AI chat to see where he was at the time of the crime. The chat will respond and show us the exact location on the map. Let's say we have a crime report that tells us the suspect fled the scene at 9:30. Let's use the timeline tool to go to exactly 9:30. We could see that it matches the report. He's leaving the bar. Let's see where he is right now by using the timeline tool to go back to live. We can use the chat to automate the next steps, such as requesting an arrest warrant and sending units to the area once we receive it. The chat will automatically create an action plan and execute the plan for you as soon as you give the approval. It'll notify the relevant parties, execute according to your department's protocol, and custom integrations with your current services, allowing you to keep your jurisdiction safe and secure right from the palm of your hand with the Central Command Platform.
Wow. So what was the source of that video?
So that is out there. That's
a real thing. That was an ad for an actual. Wow.
This is a real thing.
Not a Black Mirror episode.
No. If you pull up my screen right now, here's the patent. You notice that the acronym WBAN was in that video.
Yeah.
Wide Body Area Network. Here's the patent. If you look at the focal areas on this patent, these are all the identical areas that were coming up positive around the human body.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. So they're already running that. And of course, you know, when you look at, we were playing a video a few weeks ago, it was Larry Ellison talking to Tony Blair at the World Economic Forum, and they're saying very clearly, like, before we can have AI dictate everybody's behavior, we have to have all of the data consolidated in one source. And it seems like this is really contributing to that. What I just saw seems like a functional rollout of that exact thing, knowing where everybody is at any second of the day. And I guess what they're thinking too, I mean, that's pretty horrifying, I have to say.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But that's reality. And here's the thing. This is why we do platforms like this.
Yeah.
And we thank you so much, because it takes people like you and Alex to just really spread the truth. Because once the best defense is to be aware. And
right.
What we're trying to do is awaken the general population, the masses. Because what happens if your thoughts are no longer your own and they're programmed? Your children don't have a chance to have any autonomy or free will. Your great-grandchildren, This is affecting your genealogy and your generations to come. And the problem is it's implemented already. We have an article right now done by the neurology group, and they're talking about once the implementation of 6G is released is when it's all going to be turned on. And what I mean by that, recently we had a retreat, and I was giving a talk on positive affirmations, reframing negative thoughts into positive. And everyone had heard that I had done these scanning projects. And so they all wanted to be scanned. And these are people, doctor backgrounds, worked for NASA, all walks of life. These are not people who are most generally are suffering from this phenomenon. And what we discovered was very alarming. They also were showing up positive, just like you, in those same exact locations. So our hypothesis right now is the people who are having the symptoms are the ones who are turned on.
Mm.
The ones who are not are the ones who haven't been turned on yet.
Well, that's incredibly crazy. So what should I do?
So
since I was get tested positive.
So good question. So we believe if this is not of a nature that has, that hypothetically has a foreign body that's of a surgical size, that you were probably dealing with the mRNA nanorobot phenomenon. And I was very disheartened. You know, what are we going to do? Our whole goal was to help people. Now what? Are we defeated? And being the left brain that I am, I haven't supported anything out there. But recently, I came across a product that is called Zeolite Z. And it's produced by a company called Masterpiece. And that's why I was trying to get the URL for you. And what zeolite is, it's natural. It's made by God. It's made by Mother Earth. You find it in the blue zones around the planet.
Okay, I heard you talking to Alex about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically you have to have volcanic activity, diatomaceous earth, and it meets the sea. And it creates the zeolite, which has a negative charge.
Okay.
And you don't want to get anything that's synthetically made because
that would probably only
aggravate
it. Yeah.
Yeah. You want natural stuff.
Well, we're coming to the end here, but yeah, I can see why Alex wants to have you on tomorrow as well. We could go on for hours about this. Endlessly fascinating. Jesse Belcher has been my guest. Thank you so much. Mind Nexus Live on X, mindnexuslive.com. We'll show that music video.
We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy, literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Did I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? Do you think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No, you hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick freaking ass. They're the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexShowStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed. Stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away. Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt, and this methylene blue really rocks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. Of course, we're watching some of the best of for this Thanksgiving broadcast, but I wanted to give you a little tour of the office here. It's a little bit messy, but also tell you about some of the products that I take on a daily basis. Of course, we have our little mascot, the Gay Frog here, one of my daughter's favorite toys at home. She loves running around with it. And of course, we have some beautiful new merch just for the holiday season. It may be Thanksgiving, but Christmas is coming up fast. So make sure you've got your ugly sweaters. Although I wouldn't even call it an ugly sweater. It's extremely high quality hoodie, actually, is what it is. With Santa there in the Santa's Choice America First. And we also have the America First shirt with the Christmas lights. Remember, just like Jeffrey Epstein, Christmas lights don't hang themselves. America First, very subtle with a little Christmas light decoration on there. We're lucky. We're lucky at InfoWars. We get the first shipment of all of the cool apparel. Now, right now, all the apparel on the alexjonesstore.com is 25% off for the Black Friday week-long sale. We have the similar design America First hat, cool trucker hat with that same Christmas light design. Everything from InfoWars is extremely high quality, just like our news, just like our information. Our products are, of course, top of the line, thealexjonesstore.com. So we get all of the new stuff early. We're very lucky. Another Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, you filthy Democrat shirt. Something a little bit more subtle for you. But another fine piece of apparel. So we just get boxes of this stuff. It's amazing. In honor of our veterans, all the new hat designs. We get another, the Santa design there on that hat. You thought I dropped it, but there was another one. It's very cool. We get all the new designs. Another, here's the actual ugly Christmas sweater. And it is a sweater, not a hoodie. With, all your favorite ghouls. All your favorite ghouls on here. AOC, Hillary Clinton, and, Nancy Pelosi. Folks. For the info warrior in your life, you know where you gotta go to shop. You gotta go to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, the Black Friday sale is on and you're getting 25% off all apparel and, so much more. Cool little action figure. These are not available, unfortunately. You gotta make these yourself, but it'll be in my son's Christmas stocking this year. Now every morning, before I do the show, I guess every mid-afternoon when I'm getting ready for the show, this is my routine. I take the methyl drive. I take the power plant, these together, we call the power drive combo. These do some incredible stuff. Rex Jones got me on them and I take them every day. Both of them designed to work synergistically together. And I do those. And then I do, of course, the Shilajit gummies. In case you don't know what Shilajit is, I describe it all the time, but like we should really make a big deal out of it. It literally emerges from the earth, the top of mountains. It's a miraculous superfood that I encourage everybody to take. They taste really good. Daily boost in vitality. You know, eventually you just start taking them and it just becomes a habit. And when you don't take them, you seriously feel it. Irish sea moss as well. So I take two of these, a Shilajit gummy, the power plant, the methyl drive. Of course, we have the ultra methylene red here. Hopefully that's back in stock by the time this airs. And then nitric boost. If I need an extra boost, if I'm feeling not quite as energetic as normal. So I keep all these on a little shelf right by my computer where I do all of my news gathering for the day. And again, apologies for the mess, but you know, you don't want to work in an office that's too clean. You don't want to work in an office that's too well put together. This is a working office. This is a busy office. Things are constantly changing. People are coming in and out. People are switching up where they're sitting, who's doing what, where. It's a dynamic and vital operation we have here. And of course, it's all thanks to you when you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, the Black Friday sale is on right now and will continue through Friday, November 28th. So any supplement you add to your cart, you get another one free. 2-for-1 on all supplements, 25% off all apparel. And I hope everybody's having a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I hope to see you wherever our new digs are, whatever happens to us next, you make it possible for us to continue this operation no matter what happens. So thank you so much for being here with us. Now I'm gonna enjoy the dispatch from the boss that we have playing in every room. It's fantastic. Back to the show. Thanks everybody.
We are live, still on air. The sp-
missions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Yes, folks, we are streaming on X at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones, at War Room Show, and of course, InfoWars.com/show. My guest is Ian Carroll. You can find him on X at Ian Carroll Show, cancelIanCarroll.com, and on YouTube as well at Ian Carroll Show there also. And it seems like the talk of the day today is this young Republican group chat. And I think this is very symbolic of the old guard kind of trying to stick to the old way of doing things, the old conservative attitude, and resisting moving on to the next generation that's a little bit edgier, that doesn't care quite as much what their enemies think about them. Have you been following this at all?
Yeah, I have. Not in any great depth because it doesn't feel like a very deep story to me. It feels like more partisan hit piece politics that's just kind of meant to distract and inflame tensions. And it is just feels like a giant nothing burger to me. It's like these people have clearly never talked to 20-something-year-olds and never been in a group chat with a bunch of dudes. But you know, whatever. People got to be outraged about something. I think that the responses and the back and forth of, you know, everyone in the media is actually a lot more interesting than the group chats themselves.
Right. Well, and again, I think it's like a dividing line. It's sort of become a litmus test where, like, if you are apologizing for this, if you're groveling at the feet of your enemies, you're lost, man. Like, you need to be left on the side of the road as we charge forward. And it's not about we're now Nazis. It's just like, this is all fabricated. It's all nonsense. They don't really care. So why are you feeding into it? And it's just infuriating. And it seems like, sorry, but it seems like the boomers are just clinging on to power. And I've been talking to some people 100%. Sort of behind the scenes, and that really is happening, where the old school GOP sort of moneyed boomers are trying to force out the young people that didn't even have anything to do with this, but they basically are embarrassed by the whole thing and just want everybody out so they can bring in sort of rhino people that support Black Lives Matter but are still technically Republican. And the young people are resisting it. And there's this sort of behind the scenes battle going on that I wonder if it's ever going to break out, you know, into the open in a bigger way. But then it also brings up the question of, like, the right and the left is kind of getting blurred at this point. What is your take on that? Because I see so many people saying, you know, this is an opportunity. The left and the right are really aligned on a lot of stuff. But then I look over to the left and they're telling me to castrate my child and, you know, all this other good. They hate white men. It's like, well, how are we supposed to bridge that gap? Do you think there's any hope for unification between the left and the right now?
Not with the extremes, no. But with, you know, the sane and rational middles of both sides, absolutely. I think that we're more unified in the 80% middle than we've ever been in our lives. And I think that stories like Jeffrey Epstein and the war in Gaza and the technocrats taking everything over, I think those all align in the same way. And I think you're totally right about the boomer generation, the old guard, the old boys club, trying to hold on to power. And we're seeing that story reiterated over and over and over again. And I would argue that the turning point story, the Charlie Kirk story, is a very similar story, actually, where Charlie is this younger kid. Like, he's not a kid, but he's definitely younger than all of them. And he's interfacing with even younger kids almost as a canary in the coal mine. And the canary starts coming up being like, hey, this is not this isn't working with the kids anymore. I can't keep doing this. It's not going to work. And when we started to see how the donors were pushing back on that, there's this sort of denial of reality, as though like this older generation thinks that they can just stick their hands in their ears and their head in the sand and pretend that it's not happening. But ultimately, the whole world is changing all around them. And it's only a matter of maybe 5 to 10 years before the change is just natural law. But we're seeing a bunch of sort of versions of it rearing its head right now. Whether it's these group chats and like, you know, the conversation around the language in them, or it's Charlie talking about the donors and talking about what college kids are talking about and asking, over and over and over. I mean, even just the dynamic between like the Nick Fuentes right and like the Tucker Carlson right. It sort of is, subtly visible in all aspects of politics right now.
And it all, for some reason, always ties back to Israel. And it's like, it's almost frustrating because it's like, I don't want this to always be about Israel, but you know, I'm talking to a couple people behind the scenes about sort of what was going on with the young Republicans. And I'm like, where did this beef start? Like, what is this all about actually? And they're like, well, Gavin Wax is a Zionist and he was trying to be sort of displaced by non-Zionist people. And it's like, really? This also. So this as well. So the Charlie Kirk thing is about Israel. Jeffrey Epstein's about Israel. Gaza, obviously, and Trump and Iran. And that goes back to Israel. It's just like, this just seems like a thorn in our side, or it just seems like at the root of all of this, it always goes back to Zionism for some reason. I don't want to be talking about this. Why does it always go back to that?
Well, I mean, if you analyze the situation, honestly, either Israel is trying to influence American politics to, you know, boost support for Israel, or they're not. And if you want to argue that Israel is not trying to boost support for Israel in America, I don't know what planet you live on.
Right.
I think the more content, like the question that people kind of argue over is whether that's a good thing or it's a bad thing. But like, it's undeniable that they are extremely invested in affecting America's opinion of Israel. And so basically that's a propaganda campaign targeting Americans. And if you are running a propaganda campaign targeting Americans and your entire nation's survival basically depends on the continued support of conservative Americans, that is the kind of situation where you have to maintain power. It's like you're wrestling with someone and they have a weapon and you're trying to control that right. weapon to keep them from harming you. And you have to do everything you can to keep that weapon from getting free. And that's kind of the behavior that we're seeing. And that's why it pops up everywhere, because any potential opening is a leak in the dam that could crack the whole thing. Like, you can't have the Turning Point stage, you know, platforming anti-Israel opinions, because what'll happen when all the kids start hearing that and everyone starts talking about it? You can't have these young Republicans taking over, because then this whole organization is going to flip on Israel. You know, that mindset, whether true or not, it's really obvious to see how Zionists might see that as an existential threat and as a sort of like crack in the dam kind of a moment of keep it all down. And so I think by the nature of the situation, you imply that it will show up everywhere, because everything on the right wing has sort of been built, not literally, but just about everything on the right wing has been built up on Zionist money to promote the Zionist version of the right wing, kind of like the Judeo-Christian version of Christianity. And so it just inherently is baked into the entire cake. And I think that there's no, like, we haven't had such an overt confrontation with that truth until the war in Gaza, and specifically Trump's presidency, that is just more of the same. So it's just really in our faces.
Yeah, it's really hard to ignore. And that, you know, to me was the really interesting thing about some of the text messages Candace Owens was coming out with. No matter who you believe killed Charlie Kirk, you got to see behind the scenes at what a pressure campaign looked like, what influences these high powered sort of right wingers have to deal with and have to try to balance and have to worry about, all right, I'm losing credibility here, but I'll lose money if I don't go with that. And it's obvious that people are being restricted and guided in ways they don't want to go. And it's unfortunate. Where did you land on, I mean, are you still investigating the Charlie Kirk assassination? It seems like there's new stuff coming out continuously. Some of it, I don't know how serious it is or whether to take it that seriously. I know I talked to you a little bit about the Google search results that have come up, which I was sort of looking at, and I was kind of going, well, this could be something. It could not be. I'll look into this later. And then I see that apparently Google went into their back end and like deleted all of the results. So you can't even find them anymore. So now I'm like, okay, this must have been something, because they wouldn't go in and delete this if it didn't happen. So can you explain what that is about and what these Google searches are?
Yeah, so I forget the guy's name, the original account. I wish I remembered it. Maybe your guys have a clip to pull up. He finds this Google search term about the Losee Center or Tyler Robinson, you know, one of these very specific phrases that is about this shooting. And he's looking at Google search terms of, you know, when were people searching this? And he happens to notice that Washington DC, if you, cause in Google search, you know, analysis, you can shrink your query and look at really specific search data. And he shrinks it down to just look at District of Columbia. And he notices that like Tyler Robinson was Google searched specifically in District of Columbia enough times to make a significant blip on the map, like a month before before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Or I guess Tyler Robinson's might have been a few days before the assassination, because he started Googling all these, looking up all these different terms, Losee Center, Tyler Robinson, the name of the hospital, the name of the construction company that redid the whole scene, all these little terms that are very specific to this crime that no one would have known about or been thinking about, especially in Washington DC ahead of the crime. And he finds all of these data points where there's this huge spike in search data before the assassination happened. Right. So there he is, Real Baron podcast. And he publishes this and he does at least one. I don't know if he did more than one, but he did at least one of these searches live just to show us. He looked up, I think, the Mauser rifle. I think he looked up Mauser 30-06 or something like that. And he showed live on his video on stream that there's the blip and it is before the killing. And he was just testing a new term. He didn't even know if it would be there, but it was. But, then all the search data seems to get deleted. So we can't double check that it was all real, which is unfortunate. It doesn't disprove it, but it makes it hard to double check. But since the initial reporting, he and other people have been looking up other search terms and finding other spikes of a search term. Like, for example, the construction company that paved over the whole crime scene that got searched in DC. I think it might have been in Israel. There's like these spikes in Israel and in DC, which is super sketchy.
And nowhere
and
else.
So that one got discovered later, and then that one also got wiped like that day. So it seems like there's something going on where they're watching that reporting and they're clearing out the search data for everything that was searched around that. I don't know how to come up with an innocuous explanation for it. Data doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Right? It can be confusing and misleading, but that's pretty specific data.
Yeah. So it was these search terms that nobody would have searched, really, certainly not with the, you know, all in the same place at the same time, and it's only DC and only Israel where it pops up. So it's not like they were searching DC to see if anybody and elsewhere they were also searching. No, it was like nobody in the country searched this term, the name of the surgeon or the name of the hospital, except little spikes like 2 months before the assassination in DC and Israel. And it's very suspicious. This is from Project Constitution on X, and they, you know, did a breakdown of this, but he said, I fired up Google Trends for Precision Marble and Granite LLC, which is that the company that paved over the crime scene. Boom, massive U.S. spike right around June 20th, syncing perfectly with the Israel/DC recon blitz. Snapped a mobile screenshot, ironclad evidence of foreknowledge, switched to desktop for a clean side-by-side like all my other dumps. Poof, zero results, zilch. Tried phone again, gone. Had a third-party buddy verify on their device, same thing, black hole, no data. He says this isn't a glitch, it's live deletion. Google, or CIA Mossad string pullers, wiping Trends data the second we go viral. So he's saying that he searches this, gets a result, and then the instant he gets the result, he can't do it again. He goes to another computer and it doesn't show up. So this is very, very suspicious. Again, maybe it wasn't suspicious before, but who has the power to delete these results in live time? And I haven't seen anybody come up with a good technical answer of how this could just happen, as you say, innocuously or, you know, without All some right. sort of nefarious activity behind this.
I mean, his wording in the post actually sort of misrepresents what he says happened in a way that is sort of significant too. He describes what you just read, that he finds the search term, takes a screenshot, and then goes to do another, you know, screen recording of it, and then it's gone. In the wording here, he says that they delete these things after we go viral. But what he's just described is not that. He's described them deleting it while he is the only one that's aware that he's found it. While he has just searched it, and it has just been found, is what he seems to describe. Now, I suspect that this whole tweet was written by AI, just from the language of it being written, which doesn't mean that it's all lies. It just means that I think he was using it for verbiage. So it's possible there's some miscommunication in terms of the actual wording of the post, but he seems to be describing like live surveillance of these search terms and then active deletion the moment one is searched, which is weird. That doesn't really make like, you know, if you were live surveilling all the search terms that you know are suspicious, you'd think you would just delete them all instead of surveilling them.
Right.
So I'm a little confused by his post on that one in specific, but there's, you know, there seems to be a lot of smoke coming out somewhere here. And so it feels like there's probably some fire. And again, this is where, like, you asked where I'm at with the investigation. And you're right that so much has happened, and it's like there's still stuff coming out, and it's kind of hard to tell, like, what was debunked and what are we still looking at and what's the chances and what does everyone think now. And it is always important to rewind and remember, like, what do we still know from the start and what is still just true that is unanswered and in the air. And the most obvious one is what you put out, and then we're super vindicated on, is that you put out this really controversial tweet where someone close to Charlie had said to you a month before that Charlie had been saying that he was afraid that Israel would try to kill him if he turned on them. And that seemed like this crazy out there tweet to a lot of people when you posted it, and then especially the day of the shooting, and it became this whole big conspiracy theory, and people were calling you a liar and all this stuff. And then you were corroborated not by one other person, but by two other sources, very high quality journalists, Max Blumenthal and Candace Owens. And some of that reporting, basically, like, Candace is saying that she has three different sources talking about Charlie saying those sorts of things. Max is saying that he has three to five sources. And so it's extremely corroborated at this point. And that's like one of these statements that is easy to lose it in the river of information that's coming down and forget that that sort of is a core piece of what's happening here. But that is still this Republicans group chats, because I'm still wondering about the Charlie Kirk group chat where he said, I need to abandon the pro-Israel cause. We haven't heard Turning Point USA make any statements about that. We haven't heard them address that at all. We haven't heard them say if they're going to do that or why they're choosing to not follow through on what was apparently one of Charlie's last convictions. I don't know what to do with that, but it's real. And it's pretty well corroborated at this point.
Well, you know, TVUSA did respond, or at least Andrew Colvett did respond to confirm that text chain was legit. And interestingly, tell me if I have this wrong, it sounded to me like he said, I know it's true because I took that screenshot. Andrew Colvett said, I sent that screenshot into the FBI when they were asking us about who may have had motive for killing Charlie. So it sounds like he was sort of admitting, yeah, we also suspected Israel, and so we sent in this stuff to the FBI.
There's a bit of subtlety in what you just said, though, is that Colvett said, I had also, like, passed around that screenshot, which doesn't really make clear if that means that he's the one that actually, like, had the phone, screenshotted the thing, and then sent it to everyone, including Candace. I don't think that's what he's implying. I think that what his words meant is that I was in that chat, and I have screenshotted that exact piece because it's so spicy, and I had sent it to the FBI and these other things for what I thought was the right thing to do, and implying that someone else sent it to Candace because other people must have also screenshotted it, I think is what's implied there, which is, you know, same, but subtle. But you're absolutely right that he did claim that he sent it to law enforcement right away, which implies that he had questions as well. And I don't know. I've been wondering from the very start. I was looking very closely at Erica Kirk and at TPUSA people to see if they were going to condemn the whole conversation around Israel. Are they going to come out and say, Candace is crazy, you're crazy, we're all crazy? And they didn't really do that. And furthermore, there's some donors, not the Jewish ones, but there's other donors, and there's other people on the inside that are reaching out and leaking things and getting involved in, like, making sure that that part of the story doesn't die, because I think naturally everyone is extremely suspicious. Right now, the investigation is sort of dead-ended into the FBI doing their own thing behind closed doors, and all the information that we have in the public square being hard to match up to Tyler Robinson and a .30-06 rifle from the Losee Center. But it's not impossible, not entirely impossible anyways. And so we're sort of in this waiting period where basically a bunch of ballistics experts on YouTube are carefully and systematically analyzing the crime scene, doing aerial surveys, analyzing all the video evidence that we have, and having a really interesting, complex discussion online about the quality of evidence, what the evidence shows, what different theories might or might not line up. So it's been really cool to kind of watch the experts work and follow along with them and report on what they're coming up with.
Yeah, and I mean, Candace Owens has been doing really, really an incredible job, you know, exposing all of this and coming out with all of this. And, you know, she said, the only people that can stop me, she mentioned somebody, but then she said Erica Kirk. She said, you know, if Erica Kirk tells me not to do this, then I won't do it.
It was her husband and Erica Kirk.
So there you go. So obviously they haven't told her to stop. So, you know, just sort of de facto approval of what she's looking into. And she's got the receipts.
Let's analyze that for just a second, actually, because this is the first time that I've kind of put these two thoughts together that we've been talking about here. Is we know that the text message from Charlie that's saying he had to abandon the pro-Israel cause is real. Andrew Colvett confirmed that. So his wife knew it was real. Right. His wife saw those exact pressures and struggles more than anyone else. If there's anyone in the world that feels Charlie's, the pressure and the pain that Charlie was under and might be a little resentful of the way that Charlie was being treated, it should be his wife. His wife should be the first person that is, you know, wanting to push back on people that are being mean to Charlie. And so I can only imagine that Erica Kirk should know exactly how Charlie felt and should probably share a lot of those sentiments. And so that implies that she is based.
Right.
Right. And if she's not, like, if there's any version of the story where Erica is not on that page, then it's like, well, shit, now we're talking Erica Kirk conspiracies, because you're married to the man. He's the love of your life. You have the most amazing love story ever. You're raising kids together. He tells you everything. By all accounts, you guys were the closest ever. And he was clearly going through this, and you clearly saw them pressuring him, and you're a loyal, you know, Christian wife. And so from all indications, Erica, the new CEO of Turning Point USA, gets it and knows what Charlie was going through and is very much on the side of investigate all the leads, I would assume, because she hasn't condemned it yet and she knows everything. And the only situation where I can imagine her going against that perspective of Charlie's would be where she was like some freaking secret agent or something, which is not something I suspect is true. Although those theories are floating around.
Yeah, I don't suspect that either. I think people overestimate the likelihood that people are living double lives and just completely dishonest about literally everything, and they have kids with somebody they don't really love. It's just like, stop that. You know, that to me is too far. But, you know, when she gave her first address where she says, you know, to the people who killed Charlie Kirk, like, your day is coming, and it was like really, you know.
Notice the language.
When I first saw that, I was like, oh, she knows. She knows and she's aware and she's talking straight to him.
Yeah, she spoke in the plural.
Yeah.
She specifically said these people, right? She did not single out Tyler Robinson. She didn't say his name. She didn't say the shooter. Like, she did say the young man when she said, I forgive you. But she was using this intentionally very vague language that, like, it was hard not to notice that all that language applies to any old shooter. It applies to any old situation. And she used the plural multiple times. I'm not super optimistic that we're going to actually get results from Turning Point or from the FBI, because ultimately now Erica is under all that pressure. Now Charlie's legacy is at threat of being taken away from Erica and whoever she's aligned with in there. Like, she's now in the thick of that exact battle. And I can only imagine, though she seems incredibly prepared to take it over, she's not as prepared as Charlie Kirk was. So there's definitely some stuff going on inside Turning Point, and I think we're all pretty curious what's the scoop, what's the tea, and what's going to fall out of there when it gets shook.
And, of course, the only people coming out with new information are you guys, are Candace Owens and you and you know, Brian Matta and the people doing this research. I haven't heard anything from the FBI. I'm pretty sure to this date the last thing we heard from the FBI was the text messages that nobody even believes in the first place. Yeah. So, you know, if they're...
It's because we're all so hateful. You just have to be more hateful. You just have to hate people, and that's how you, you know, get to the bottom of things.
Well, maybe I'll work on that. More with Ian Carroll on the other side. Follow Ian on X at Ian Carroll Show. Cancel IanCarroll.com. YouTube at Ian Carroll Show. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Short commercial break. We'll be right back.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, if the bad guys are about to take it over, why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle,
they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this, we'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But, of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And, of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Teasing Ian Carroll. I don't approve of this. I don't approve of it at all. Ian Carroll is my guest. Ian Carroll Show on X. CancelIanCarroll.com. YouTube, Ian Carroll Show as well. And you brought up something during the break that I am glad you brought up, because I have not had time to look into this, but you're telling the crew that you spent all morning with your head in the Russian JFK dossier. So apparently Russia had a dossier on JFK that they released through Anna Paulina Luna, if I have that right. It has now been published. You've had a chance to look at it. What is this? Give us the background and tell us what's in it.
Yeah, well, first off, what is it when we have a foreign nation giving documents that are being released on Twitter through this, like, single congresswoman? It's a funny way to get these kinds of documents, and for a foreign nation to tell us about our own presidential assassination.
Right.
But kind of a nothing burger. I think we all sort of expected nothing to come of it. There is a lot of interesting information in them. And I'll kind of break it down a little bit, but it's not like it solved the case or anything like that. It basically is just stuff that sort of absolves Russia of guilt. And, you know, obviously you should be a little suspicious of Russia providing information that absolves Russia of guilt, but it is pretty well documented. So it's like 380 some pages. basically all in Russian. There's a whole bunch of sources in there. There's a whole bunch of old photographs and exhibits in there. There's letters, handwritten notes and stuff like that. And it's basically just a compilation of all of their related intelligence about Lee Harvey Oswald, JFK, JFK's relationship with Russia, every communication that happened in the immediate aftermath of JFK's death, and a couple of other sort of related tangential investigations and ideas. And so what I did, because I don't speak Russian and it's a lot of pages, is I basically wrote a big AI script that organized it all, translated it all, and then scraped through and sort of like categorized each section and broke it down so that I could look at each section one thing at a time, and specifically looking for any new information. Is there anything new that we didn't already know in the public domain that is contained in these documents? There's a fair bit of surveillance information about Lee Harvey Oswald. If anyone's not familiar, Lee Harvey Oswald, the patsy that they said killed JFK, he was selected as the patsy because he was sort of a mentally unstable sort of CIA officer, because he had worked with CIA in some way, but often with CIA people, they're sort of halfway in, halfway out, because they're kind of working undercover and sort of being double agents. And it's always a little unclear with these kinds of people who they really worked for. And that's perfect, because Lee Harvey Oswald was sort of close enough that they could surveil him, they could send him places, they could assign him places, but he was also far enough away that they could be like, look, he was a Soviet defector. And he had been apparently tasked with either infiltrating on behalf of the American government, the Cuban and Soviet, socialist kind of groups, or he had genuinely been a socialist that was trying to defect from the USA and go join those groups. And there's discrepancies and people argue about that still. But Russia was surveilling him, and they have documentation about his application to be a Soviet citizen. They have documentation about an apparent suicide attempt that he, did when he was in Russia. He was assigned to work in Russia while he was there, and they have some interesting documentation about how he was paid his standard salary, but he was also paid an extra amount every month. And then he was also receiving a bunch of rubles to pay for his accommodation, which seems to imply that basically he was put up in a place where they could keep an extra close watch on him, because he was trying to say, I want to join Russia, I'm defecting from the US, I'm on your team. And they were kind of like, we don't buy it. And there's a really interesting, one of the more significant new things that comes up in the report that's never really been disclosed or talked about before, is that apparently Lee Harvey Oswald had written a number of handwritten letters to the USSR asking for citizenship and stuff like that. And those are included in the report. But apparently on November 9th, 1963, he wrote a typed letter to the Soviet Union right before JFK gets shot. That's basically this whole like, it's like another request for citizenship, but the Soviets in this documentation, if we're to believe it all, they say that because it was typed when none of his other letters were, and the wording in it was like really suspicious to them, and they thought it was basically trolling to like hook them into something that they weren't sure what it was. And then like days later, JFK gets shot and they're like, whoa, that's weird. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the Soviet intelligence perspective on this November 9th letter is that it was probably not written by Lee Harvey Oswald and was instead basically forged to try to incriminate Russia and Lee Harvey Oswald as the factions behind the shooting. That's not substantiated. That's just their assessment of the intelligence. And it is, you know, intelligence officials making that assessment. But it's really interesting to kind of dig into the wording of it and how they analyzed it and all that. There's also a bunch of documentation about exactly what conversations happened in the Kremlin and in the higher levels of Soviet government right when the shooting happened. And it's pretty clear from all of the documented conversations, memos, emails, cables that went back and forth, blamed for this. A, did we have anything to do with it? Like, was this some secret, like, you know, black budget program in the KGB that we don't know about? Figure that out right away. And then when they looked into that and found out that that was not the case, they were basically like, okay, immediately, like, we need to reach out to America, reach out to the Kennedys, apologize, condolences, share everything we've got with them, because they were, it's like we as Americans are propagandized to think of the USSR as this like big boogeyman that wanted to end the world. But over and over again throughout much of the USSR's history, The actual correspondences from their leadership was more war. What can we do to stop nuclear war?
Right.
And that is, again, the kind of the story in these documents. And I'm not saying that like all the Soviets were wonderful, but it is really interesting to see how they responded like to the minute, to the actual assassination. But other than that, there's really not a lot in it. I did search specifically for Israel just for the heck of it. And Israel was mentioned a number of times, but only kind of in passing, not in any sort of conspiratorial or they had any involvement way. And there wasn't really, anything new that we don't already know aside from sort of like intrigue about Lee Harvey Oswald's time in Russia and Russia's interactions with him.
Okay. Cause I'd seen some rumors that there were like some pretty explosive things in here, but you didn't see anything about like a second shooter. I saw a report that the Russia thought that the FBI thought that there were two shooters, something like that, but nothing.
You know, it is possible. It is possible that that's in there because there's severe limitations to how you analyze such things, and we all sort of choose our own way to analyze it. If I was a Russian speaker, obviously I'd be a million times more equipped to break this down. So right now I'm having to rely on AI's organization of it, translation of it, and then I basically did a bunch of prompting to have AI help pick out the important sections that I should look at more closely. But there's a lot of sections that I have not personally scrutinized yet as well. So it's the kind of thing where anytime there's these new document breaks, especially with these giant documents that no one could ever take the time to read all of it so fast, is it's important to have multiple eyes looking on it and multiple people kind of analyzing everything to double check each other. Because I haven't seen that yet, but it's very possible that it's in there. The way that the documents, like the way the USSR's correspondences are structured, that's, I totally believe that they would have their own intelligence reports in there about the investigation, about what was sort of being surmised, because they were extremely concerned with who was getting blamed and was it going to get pinned on them and where's the investigation going and how can we avoid conflict with the US over this.
Very, very, very interesting. Yeah. And of course, you know, it would make sense for them. And I think you know, I always got the feeling that when Oswald went over there, they sort of mistreated him a little bit and he was kind of pissed off. And of course, the way it was portrayed in historical documentaries, which I'm sure are biased and probably put out by the CIA in the first place, but I always got the impression that he sincerely wanted to go to Russia and they just thought he was a spy and just like kind of wouldn't let him really become Russian, but yep. Were more like, yeah, you can hang out here, you know, just in case we need to, you know, scoop you up as a hostage or something. Like they're willing to let him live there, but not willing to actually, you know, treat him like a real defector because they were suspicious that he was sent over. So yeah,
that's the interesting space that espionage lives in, really.
Right.
That like we only ever, as regular citizens, we only ever see that in like cinema, in movies. This sort of like gray area of like double agents and who do you work for and deal making. But like when you actually look up and research cases of espionage and intelligence agency operations and stuff, you more and more you start to realize that that is a very real phenomenon. And actually one of the best examples is Jeffrey Epstein. There's a lot of debate about who he worked for and whether he was sort of like a free agent that contracted out what he had or whether he was set up by Israel, for example, right from the start. And I don't think we know that for sure. But when you look at how he operated, it's very clear, or how his predecessor in certain ways, Robert Maxwell, operated. It's very clear that a lot of these sort of spies, even if you're a low-level dude, like Lee Harvey Oswald, you sort of live in this like gray area where if you're going to be useful to the American government that ostensibly hired you, you sort of need to not be affiliated with them. You need to go be undercover, so to speak. But then the moment you're undercover, you're sort of like need to be affiliated with this other group. But often they get so blurry and gray area. And Lee Harvey Oswald's relationship to USSR is, again, this funny kind of space where like he did work with the CIA in some capacity. Maybe he was a defector. It's hard to say. He seemed genuine in his desire to go and be involved in the socialist thing. But like, I don't know. Then he was like back in Dallas and ostensibly, I actually don't remember. I one time looked up, got deep into the rabbit hole of how he came to be in that place in Dallas at the time. And I thought that I had found that it was basically he was assigned to go there by his sort of CIA handlers. But I don't want to claim that too certainly without looking it up again. But it's just this funny gray area of intelligence agency operations being so similar to organized crime and like a blank allegiance to whoever's, you know, giving you anonymous orders, that it gets so confusing.
It gets very vague. And of course, you know, he was known for like being part of communist groups in New Orleans, yep, and handing out communist pamphlets. And it's like, okay, was that what he was really doing? Or was that him trying to ingratiate himself with the communists on behalf of the CIA? Or was it the New Orleans mob that had something to do with it? I mean, we're still dealing in the gray area of all of this, but something I've noticed, you know, along with this and a couple of other things, is there seem to be all of these back channels between Republicans and Russians that I'm noticing sort of make themselves known. Have you been following Kirill Dmitriev? He's a special envoy to the U.S. from Russia. He's also the CEO of their sovereign wealth fund, and he's been making these kind of shocking statements on X, going, yeah, you know, the Trump and Russia are working together to defeat the New World Order, basically. And he's Q posting. Huh. He, I guess, is the one that's literally posting, like, something will happen,
right,
and he'll post like a Q post and be like, see, this is what's happening.
Posted 52 minutes ago a story about John Bolton, and he just posted a storm emoji, which is a Q reference. The storm is coming. So, that's amazing. That's
have you been hilarious. Looking? And then the first lady, Melania Trump, came out and said, I've been working with a back channel with Putin to save these kids. Anna Paulina Luna is working with the ambassador to release the JFK files. And it seems like from reading Kirill Dmitriev's, you know, Twitter post, he's kind of insinuating that like JFK was killed not by the Russians because he was anti-Russian, but because he was actually kind of working with the Russians to try to bring world peace. In fact, if the crew can bring in my computer in just a second.
That is what the documents basically allude to. They basically show that the Russians were they liked JFK a lot because he was the most, conversational and friendly of all U.S. presidents in recent history. And he was the only one that wanted to normalize relations. And so they were immediately like, they lost a potential ally to bring these nations back together and to heal this divide. And they were worried they were going to be blamed. But it's a super astute observation on your point. That's actually totally a thing that is it's antithesis to the narrative, right, of like Russia bad. But honestly, I'm super stoked on it. Like, that's exactly what I would like to see, is a more, you know, friendly world where we're getting along and cooperating.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's the storm emoji. I mean, he posts like QAnon posts about this stuff, and he is saying it outright. He's saying, yeah, we are working together. And of course, when Putin was interviewed by Tucker, he kept saying, you know, well, you know, I've been around for a bunch of American presidents, and every single one I go to them and I say, hey, Russia's not communist anymore. We want to be just another European country. Why don't you welcome us in? Why don't we just be trade partners and friends? And the presidents always say, that's so true. What a great idea, Putin. I think we can work on that. Only to come back the next day and go, that's not happening.
Maybe we should coup your neighbor and start a war with you. That would be great.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to try to destroy everything you've built so far because the men in gray suits told us so. So it seems like this is a long, ongoing sort of phenomenon where the presidents of these countries are like, don't want to be at war, but the behind-the-scenes deep state is creating the conflict. This is from Kirill Dmitriev. He says, from the Soviet JFK docs released by Representative Luna, Kennedy-Khrushchev world peace bridge could and should be built between Alaska and Russia at once with the modern boring company technology. This could be a Putin Trump tunnel connecting the Eurasias and America for around $8 billion. So this seems to show that they were working together so well. They were talking about, you know, collaborating on infrastructure together, Kennedy and yep, Khrushchev.
Yep. And that's a drawing from the time. It's super interesting to see and kind of tragic to see like what was taken from the world. Had JFK not been shot, where would we be today? You know, what would have changed? Hard to say, but you're so right. And it is interesting. It's hard not to kind of get very conspiratorial about this sort of, dualistic relationship that America has with Russia right now, where you're right, that there's all these channels that seem to be open, all this friendly conversation and collaboration, while simultaneously, like, the war rages on in Ukraine and, you know, Putin is supposed to be the devil for that. And I just can't help but wonder if it's not another, just banker's trick of keep the wars going while we're actually all smoking cigars at tables together in fancy rooms, drinking cocktails and making money off of all these projects and clear the land over there and start the project over there and keep the peasants fighting. It's hard not to go down that rabbit hole a little bit when you see the sort of duplicity of it all.
Yeah, it seems like there really is something going on behind this. Like, I'm not full QAnon yet, but like, when you've got, you know, the CEO of the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Russia, special envoy to America, very blatantly posting this, it's like, maybe there's something to it. And funnily enough, I just saw Kirill Dmitriev retweeted Alex Jones on Tucker Carlson. So we're clearly on the same side here. And you hear Putin come out and talk about, you know, the Satanists that have taken over Western countries and seem to be at war with their own people. It's like, again, I'm not trying to be a Putin lover, Russophile guy, but he's right. But what am I supposed to say? He's telling the truth. So it's like something weird's going on here.
Honestly, I think that Putin would make a pretty mean InfoWars guest commentator for like an hour segment. It just like let him drop all the bombs on the New World Order and the Western deep state and be like, sick, bro. Nice analysis. Cause you know that he has better analysis on the Western deep state than just about anybody because they've been his adversary for the last 20 or 30 years. That is like an existential threat to him and his entire nation. So honestly, there's probably few experts better versed in the Western deep state than President Putin. You know, not to say that he doesn't have his own deep state to contend with, and Russia is extremely corrupt and has a whole bunch of oligarchical scheming going on behind the scenes at all times. It's important to note out when you're bringing up Kirill Dmitriev and the sovereign wealth fund over there that there's a lot of wealth over there and there's a lot of kind of sketchy history behind a lot of that wealth too. So a complicated figure with a lot of, you know, secret knowledge and tea to spill should he want to. So I'm very curious. I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm following him now.
Yeah, I'm seeing all these little connections, all these little hints at something bigger happening behind the scenes. And of course today Trump had a long phone call with Putin and is talking about, you know, meeting him in Hungary, which is an interesting place to meet with Orban, leading the charge. So we'll see. We'll see what comes next. We only have a few minutes left and I want to get to this because searching your name today on Google, this was the first response and it's actually from jpost.com, but Representative Khanna shares documentary featuring Ian Carroll. So I guess your appearance in this, documentary was enough to inspire a very angry article about this, but this goes back to what I was asking you earlier about the possibility of uniting with the left. Is it possible? And, you know, I'm just so baffled by the left because I'll tell you a very, very quick story. In response to the young Republicans, you know, getting in trouble, I put out a post saying, you know, here's what you should say. You should say, screw you. We're not going to clutch our pearls. We're fighting the real bad guys. Somebody commented underneath that and I couldn't tell if the comment was pro or against me. So I'm like, what is this? I go to the guy's profile to be like, okay, is he on my side or not? He's following me. He turns out he's the drummer from the band Guster. I'll just come out and say he's the drummer from the band Guster. And I'm like, oh, I love that. You know, I used to listen to that band all the time. Like, thanks for following me. And he's like, yeah, I'm actually on the far left. I'm actually like really liberal, but like, I like your takes on Israel. And I think like, this is a good time to, you know, come together on all this stuff. And I'm saying to him like, maybe, but you know, your side is deranged and crazy. And the guy goes, so, you know, he's like, to me, the people that were in that chat, those are the real bad guys. But also I've been listening to Nick Fuentes more and, you know, some of his, and I'm like, how can you think that the young Republicans are the real bad guys, but you're listening to Nick Fuentes? Like, it's crazy. It's nuts. And so I just don't know how to bridge this gap, but it seems like we're so close. Like, can you talk about that for a little bit and about your
100%
this documentary and everything?
I mean, like, I lived that gap. I came from the left, not that far on the left by any means, but came from the left. I had a lot of friends that are definitely that far left, and I swung super hard right, and now I'm somewhere in the middle. And honestly, I think that for a lot of conservatives, like, just trying to say it, just saying, a lot of conservatives don't actually know that many liberals. I think that a lot of conservatives, their perspective on liberals is from the internet. And right. From, you know, the salacious stories that break on Twitter and on Fox News and shit. And that's not what 99% of liberals are. You know, most liberals are regular people, just like most conservatives aren't like in the Klan and waving torches and trying to lynch black people. Like, right? Like, these are caricatures of both sides. And certainly the left has a huge issue with this deeply funded, militant, not organic, radical element in its midst. But that's not like the regular liberals. And I think you're super right that there is this coming together that's happening because we sort of traded issues on certain issues where like the left has always been kind of anti-Israel in this way. And now they're seeing a lot of these people on the right saying those things. They're like, oh, that's one of these things I care a lot about. And it kind of breaks your frame when you say like, oh, wait, you're with me on that? Then like, what else are we in on? Right. And I think that in general, we've just got a lot of these issues that are starting to flip flop, and our leadership has gone back and forth and back and forth and betrayed both sides so many times that now we're sort of all standing in the same room. Not the fringes, not the crazies that are funded by George Soros and shit, but like the regular people are all in one room looking around and being like, well, we are actually all a lot more similar than we are different. And, you know, they keep trying to stoke more fighting. They keep on bringing in more, you know, divisive content. But ultimately, like, it's not really working. And I think we're in that stage where you get to the house party and everyone kind of doesn't know each other very well. And it's like the first year at college and like everyone's sort of like trying to act cool and make friends and like drink a beer. But like ultimately it's kind of awkward at first, but like you're all there in the same room and you all get it and you're all there to have a party. And like the way I see it is that we just need a little bit of time to adjust to each other. Because, for example, your buddy that you were talking about there, well, not your buddy, but this guy that commented, who was like, hey, actually, like, I have the same take as you on this. I have totally different, right? There's this adjust I thought was Hitler agrees with me on one of the biggest topics.
Right.
Okay. And then it kind of breaks your frame and you have to, I think it takes time. I think it takes months and years to readjust to realizing that, like, all these people that I thought were demons are actually not that different than me. That's crazy, right? And for some people, I think some people are far more flexible in their, you know, mind and soul and are easy to, they can adjust more quickly. But I think a lot of people that are really like firm in their beliefs and have a lot of like integrity in what they think, I think for a lot of people it'll take years to adjust, but like we are all kind of in the same room together now. And, you know, there'll be lots of forces trying to push us apart, but ultimately, you know, as authoritarianism rises, as wealth inequality expands, as the haves and have nots drift way and way further apart, I think it's kind of inevitable that the regular people just get it. Like we're kind of all in this together. We're all getting left in, you know, the bottom of technocratic hell together, whether we think about red or blue or left or right. It doesn't really matter.
Right. I just, the reason it baffles me is because like my positions typically are just a fraction of like a whole worldview that goes into it. And it's always just baffling to me. I'm like, how do we share this when you're just, when I think they're just wrong completely on 90% of everything else? So I'm just like, what is this? You know, how can we bridge this gap? Cause I do think that there's a future in that. And I think you're right. You know, it's going to take some adjustment and maybe we can both kind of chill out on, you know, what we think, but when the other side is trying to put my boy in a dress, I'm like, well, okay, certain
things.
There
are some non-negotiables.
Right,
there are
some things that it's like, how do we get around that? Well, I think the future is bright and things are crazy and, there really has been a turning point recently, not to make a pun. Ian Carroll, thanks so much. Right now on thealexjonesstore.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible ultramethylene blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the colostrum plus, the bovine colostrum plus, the Irish sea moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the ultramethylene blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on methylene blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in methylene blue. And
right.
when it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, so I run out, I will absolutely notice within a few days.
Within
a few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. It isn't something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like, it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.